Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Gentlemen, you are the top 1%.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our commanding officer at Top Gun.
The very first man to win the Top Gun trophy. You will not find a finer fighter pilot anywhere in the world.
Paul Perillo.
I will fire when I am good and ready. You got that?
And Andy. And Andy?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Andy Hart.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. I am dangerous.
Eric Scalavino.
I want somebody's butt. I want it now. I'm at it.
For now, anyway.
That's twice. I want some butt.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for. You are America's best. Make us proud.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. What? Paul doesn't even have his headphones on. He's just eating away. Andy's here.
He's here. Gang's all here.
Doc's here. Eric is gone.
Where's Eric? Yes, everybody just cheered across America. Eric
Where's
is
Eric?
Gone. At a career day or something with B-Lo.
Well, the two of them went to
middle
a
school.
Day.
No, elementary school, fourth graders, I think.
Fred. I'd love to be a fly on the wall on that one. What are they bestowing on the youth of America today?
Hopefully what not to do.
Wow.
Because Eric has failed in more careers than
Eric is telling
anyone.
Telling the kids, now hold on to your dreams.
Right.
If someone tells you you can't be an artist, don't listen.
Comedian.
If they tell you to lower the price of your portraits, don't listen. Hold on to your dreams.
He really has failed in pretty much every medium. He always says, back when I was in radio, back when I was in TV, back when I was an artist.
What the hell are you doing?
Back when I was a photographer, back when I was a comedian.
Sean McDonough used to say that.
He sucked in all of them. All right.
Oh,
well,
he used to crack me up.
But at least Steve Buckley is a relatively.
Is he going to be showing up later? Is he going to be here later?
I believe so, but
okay.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Anyway,
I didn't even know that's where he was.
Let's see. What have we got to talk about here?
Tom Brady was conveniently seen throwing.
It's all
on the
Tom
field.
Brady all the time here. I'm fresh off 3 days of lacrosse at Gillette Stadium. It was a great weekend. Weather held out here. The
Fantastic
games weren't that great, except for the last one, which was unbelievable. Syracuse.
That's what you want.
Cornell had the game with 10 seconds left and the ball.
They blew it.
And they just couldn't clear it out. Mm. Unbelievable.
That guy needed a longer stick, the one that went over his top.
So Syracuse is champs once again. It was an awesome game. Awesome venue. Just a great day.
Awesome venue. What did you think of the big flag pregame?
That's flag.
Oh, the one that was shaped like the United States. It was good. But a lot of people were asking where was the flyover. Being Memorial Day. No flyover?
They couldn't get a tanker to refuel the planes in air, so they would have had to land, refuel, and then get clear to take off again. They would have been overhead 20 minutes too late.
Okay. I thought these things aren't planned out ahead of time. Would you just make a call yesterday morning? Or
there were some issues with the Pentagon delaying the approval of
now,
it.
Now, were you on the phone with the Pentagon? Wow.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning.
No, we had confirmation last Tuesday that the flyby was a go. And at the end of the podcast last Friday, I got an email from the pilot saying they don't think they could do it.
Okay, well, you tried.
They had a better offer?
No, they actually had three flybys, and there was about a two-hour gap between the third one and us. And that was where the refueling issue came in, and they tried every base
in the
area.
They were going to do one of those in-air things where it flies. Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be cooler to see, have that fly over while they're refueling.
So our event wasn't bigger than, like, the Ipswich Memorial
Clam Fest.
Day. Yeah.
Clam Fest 2009.
Good, Andy. Ipswich.
Never been there, but he always raves about the Ipswich clams.
Because that's way away from you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, so Tom Brady, I guess, got out on the field before the lacrosse match yesterday.
Well, you don't have to guess. And the video is nonstop
and
on ESPN.
Was thrown around, and so one of the cameras...
Cameras just happened to be
on
there
Boston.
To catch
Boston.com, Neckin is claiming that it's their footage, and maybe there was more than
ESPN
one set of cameras.
Has, like, angles. There's, like...
Well, maybe they got it, but also there were some other guys with cameras as well. So
you need to
ESPN shot it with SkyCam. There's one of the angles.
That's what I'm saying.
Clearly a
SkyCam was available to see him, so it wasn't like this random camera behind a bush kind of caught him.
So, Doc, you were there. When did he come out?
You know, I was talking about this earlier, and I didn't see him. I was on the field doing the flag rehearsal at about 8:45, and I never saw him. I saw one of the strength coaches running somebody. Doing just some conditioning, but it wasn't him. He wasn't the guy. Wasn't wearing a red shirt.
Two of the four members of this radio show were on site, and you guys missed it. Four eyeballs, and you missed it.
Well, I wasn't in the stadium until 10 minutes before the game, so
too busy out in the parking lot getting housed.
You got that right. You know what I got? I got one of those Heineken.
Thanks for the invite.
Oh yeah, how was
5 liters?
You drank it all?
I drank the whole thing.
5 liters.
Well, in 3 days I drank it.
Oh. Yeah. I thought you sat down before the game and I was
picturing
you not remembering the game.
No, it was that's a good little mini cakes.
So you kept it cold the whole time?
Yeah,
like
I kept
a cooler
it in the cooler.
Whatever?
When I wanted one, I'd open up the cooler and just pour my beer.
What do? You just pump it up or how does it work?
No, it's already pressurized, so you put on a couple parts and then when you want it, it's like a tap. You just...
And do you buy those or do you have to like return them? Is there a deposit?
You buy them. No, you just throw them away. Yeah. Recyclable.
Apparently they are not green.
I always thought stadium employees weren't supposed to consume on property.
I wasn't an employee at the time. I wasn't working.
You were fired temporarily?
No, we had about 80
people. Keep that in mind, Paul. I wasn't an employee at the time.
We had about 80 people there under my...
And again, thanks for the invite.
What?
I saw a couple people.
You were 81 on the list. Didn't have the room for that last person.
Well, you were working.
Not at that time.
Who was the guy making the announcements during the day?
John Dolan.
He sounds like Dudley Do-Right.
He does a PA
and
for
now
Harvard.
The Syracuse Orangemen will be coming up.
He sounds like Dudley Do-Right.
So how did you have 80 people? You had a tent?
We had two tents.
Who were these 80 people?
Just people from the King Philip Youth Lacrosse League.
Oh, that's right. You're big in lacrosse. I forgot about that. You got a coach.
It's too bad that Andy has never... Any idea what you're talking about? Because that was spot on perfect. That Dudley Do-Right right there. I know Andy doesn't have any clue what you're talking about.
Nope, nothing. That's why I just ignored it.
All right, so what do we make of this, Brady? Is it just that much ado about nothing?
I just think it's getting it out of the way maybe early, getting the hubbub out of the way before he takes the field, and then we'll be on the field Thursday to see him. I don't know. Diffuse some of the... I really don't know. I mean, it's clearly calculated. I'm sorry, but if SkyCam is available to witness it, it feels like they must have known about it. Otherwise, wouldn't you think SkyCam would have been lying on the ground somewhere and not quite ready for... I mean, as you said, Doctor, you were out there at 8, and this very well could have happened before that. So,
well, ESPN was in at 6.
No, I know,
game,
but chance is that they'd be eating a donut somewhere and not ready to go with SkyCam to catch the guy.
But do you think it could be innocent enough where Brady's working out? He says, hey, I want to go throw some. They walk down the hall and out in the field, and he's throwing.
No.
And SkyCam happened to be there.
No.
Why not?
Because I don't think SkyCam just happens to be there.
Well, it was there because of the game.
I know.
Wait a minute,
but
are you...
Somebody was clearly at the controls ready to go to move SkyCam around and zoom in and get perfect.
Are you wondering if Brady didn't realize that camera was, or the Patriots didn't realize that camera was operational?
Right.
That's possible.
You know?
I mean, for an organization that goes to such lengths, I would be skeptical that they didn't
Well,
know.
I mean, a lot of guys were here working out, and I think a lot of them stayed to watch the game. So,
really?
I think it's conceivable that Brady just said, yeah, I just want to throw a few around, and rather than go to the back practice field, he just walked down the hallway and to throw something.
I'm not buying.
You're not buying it?
ESPN sideline reporter asked Mr. Kraft about it in the interview that they did.
And?
And he goes, oh, you guys have some good intel. But he's doing fine, and he'll be at practice this week.
So who was he throwing with? Because whoever was catching the ball didn't get on camera, right?
I'm guessing it was nobody relevant.
I'm just wondering if it was a trainer or who was it? Nick Casario or... I don't know.
I have no idea. Bill O'Brien, his coach?
It could be.
Could have been Mike Woisett.
I just think...
Johnny Rotten.
I just think he wanted to go throw it around and... The cameras were there, and they're like, hey, that's Tom Brady. You know, why couldn't that happen?
I find it hard to believe. I just find it a little too conveniently but
who
packaged.
Would, okay, so if you're saying that it was set up, who wanted it set up that way? Brady? Patriots PR?
I think
Belichick?
Well, Belichick, because nothing would be set up without Belichick.
I agree.
So it's a Belichick promotion. I don't know why. I don't know if it's, as I said, just to diffuse some of the attention, to build some.
I thought we don't like ESPN. Why would we help them out?
Yeah, that's why I'm not sure that, like I said, they're so conscious of everything. It's hard to imagine them not knowing, but it doesn't make a lot of sense that ESPN would be the one they would choose. And I know that he was going to be, you know, the plan was all along, he was going to take part in this passing camp, which gets underway today, I believe.
Right.
Today, tomorrow, and Thursday is the day that we have access to it. So I don't know why. It may have just been as simple as an oversight.
Could
they
be
didn't
above
realize.
Bill, too. You know, Robert Kraft is big into TV and on those committees, and if there was something involved there, could have been a bone to throw ESPN for something. Who knows?
Okay.
That's why I think there's got to be some little story here and some direction.
But then we would, you know, we would have had to have known that Brady's going to go out at that time. Because it's not, I mean, Brady kind of does what he wants to do. No, I'm serious. Nobody really.
I'm glad that you make fun of Andy all the time for saying things like that.
No, I mean, he doesn't.
I say it, it's negative. When Fred says it, it's just how it
is. He doesn't have to be told what to do. He works. He doesn't have to be told to work out. You know, so he's left on his own devices because we can trust him. And I don't think that they said, Tom, at 10 o'clock, you have to go throw the ball. I think he just decides on his own, it's time for me to go throw.
Could be. I just find it very difficult to believe there just happened to be somebody at the ready with that cam.
Well, not on that day. I mean, they were getting ready for the final.
You get up and it's ready. Once it's hooked up, you tell me they didn't use that the days before. They hadn't already tested it.
Well, I'd like to know, and Doc's left. He's left the booth.
He's right there. Are you
blind? What time was he filmed? Do you know what time of day was?
I don't know. It looked early because the stadium was empty.
All I saw was the grass. I didn't even. Did they show a shot of
ESPN
land?
Had another angle where you could see the.
You know, when the director
ball.
Said "ready to take two," when they just happened to catch him.
So it was completely empty. So then it had to have been before 11 o'clock because that's when the gate
had started.
To
have been before 9 o'clock.
Because that's when people started, not fans,
but
other people.
Rehearsals.
Like I was saying,
stuff.
I was out on the field from about 9:30.
Yeah, so he's working
11.
Out. He comes out.
And when was the game?
The game was at 1.
So they were manning the camera at 6 in the morning just in case something happened to pop up on the
phone. But is that a camera that needs to be manned? Is there anything?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I didn't know.
It's a video game.
Know.
It's basically controlled like a video
but
game.
I didn't know if that was one of those that was an automatic motion camera that is going to pick up whatever's there. It's just a matter of them retrieving whatever footage is on. I don't know.
You know, and changing camera angles at some
point. I didn't see it, so I don't know about the change. All I saw was him dropping back to throw passes. It never even showed as
multiple angles.
As Fred pointed out, it never even showed where the ball went. It stayed on Brady the entire time when I saw what
you
I
know,
saw.
If
maybe
it wasn't,
that's part of it. It's their new receiver they traded for. It's
if it wasn't staged, then somebody from ESPN was on the ball. And said, hey, Brady's walking out to the field. You know, someone get to the camera. That could happen because they're all over the concourse, right? In the service level?
Yeah.
Because they're in this room right here, and they're in the head end room, which is right next to us.
But couldn't you get in trouble for that?
No.
No? You're there to cover the NCAA lacrosse that starts at 1.
To Fred's point of it being coincidental, I mean,
right.
CBS did the games on Sunday. So ESPN had to reassemble SkyCam. So it is possible they were testing it and that's when they caught him.
And they got the best test subject on the planet in Tom Brady.
Or, like I said, somebody just saw him walking out and said, hey, Brady's going out in the field. Scramble, and
it's,
they're ready.
It's certainly possible, but if I had to put odds, I'd say odds are better that it was orchestrated. I don't think Bill Belichick allows such mistakes to happen.
Okay.
Well, anyway, that's something that maybe we can look into.
Dig into.
See how that. I am somewhat
unearthed.
Interested in that to find out how that all came about.
Brady in the news all weekend for various, getting fitted for bikes with his son. Is it Jack? John? What is it?
John.
John Jack.
He goes by Jack, I believe.
Fitted for bikes in Newton, as I said to Fred, maybe in advance of maybe he's going to take part with his daddy in the, was that the Pan Mass Challenge or whatever he's the spokesman for?
One of those.
Is it Patriots Peddlers or? No.
He is the the spokesman, the chairperson of that entire
race. Right, for
race.
The one down the cape.
Yeah, it's a huge one.
It's the Shriver, massive. Kennedy Shriver.
Yeah, she's big in it. And then there's obviously endless reports that he's expecting child number two.
I guess that was the one last year where I think the sponsor was either
Audi. Audi. A car. There's cars involved.
And all the linemen that showed up got Audis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is nice. Yeah.
I like the Audis. They have those the headlights, the daytime running lamps are like the little curved LED things. I like those.
I wonder if this year we could have maybe all of the
reporters.
I was thinking the team, the team owns newspapers, reporters.
I'm all
show
for
up and see what we can get.
Get an Audi.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'll take a Schwinn.
All right, so Brady, that's on the table. What else do we got? I mean, otherwise it was
Greg
Ellis. Yeah, they had several angles, I guess. Yep.
So you're still buying that it's happens?
No, I think that if you're in the control room, you know.
Well, but if you guys are telling me that it has to be man's, then that explains the angles. It doesn't explain whether it was happenstance or not.
But now you're talking about maybe multiple people involved manning the situation, not just the guy running it, but the director. I mean, it's not just like me pressing record, I wouldn't think. I would think there's a big control room involved with different stuff going on.
They were in the booth that we did the show in for the draft.
Yep.
And it's like playing a video game.
That's what I thought, because I've heard some stuff about it.
For the overhead, but not for the sideline cameras.
Yeah, it looked like they were using the other cameras, too, like the regular.
Somebody was probably in the truck.
It definitely looks like.
So now we've involved a cameraman, a truck, an overhead operator, and all these guys scrambled last minute to get to their jobs.
But this is my point. I have no idea, and this is why I am somewhat intrigued by this. But I do understand what Fred's point is. Isn't it possible that one person sort of happened on this and said, hey, Joe, get in the truck. Jimmy, do this.
Sure.
Jerry, do that. And all of a sudden you have three or four guys.
Sure.
Scrambling around doing
and that
it.
It's magic
one of those
bullet went in seven directions at once.
But it's not really a magic bullet. It's just kind of taking advantage of a situation, and we'll seek.
But how long was he out there?
You know, rather than seeking permission, we'll seek forgiveness after the fact. We have a chance to get Brady on
That's
camera.
Certainly here. Plausible.
Judging from the shots, it didn't look too long.
That's what I'm thinking. And what are the chances that the Paul Perillo of the group isn't up eating a donut and the Andy Hart of the group isn't in the bathroom pooping? They were all ready to go at the drop of a hat.
Throwing around, and then he realizes, wait a minute, these cameras are moving. Oh, shoot.
Well, he had to. I mean, one was a UFO flying right above him.
Oh, by the way, speaking of shoot, did you guys catch Dennis Eckersley the other night?
Yes,
S-H-I-T. Was that funny or what?
I didn't hear it
one
live.
One of the funniest things I've
ever heard. I was watching it live.
I rewound it three times.
I
clicked
so
it back
hard.
On right after that. I was really mad that night.
The noise he made.
Recap that again.
Well, Kevin Youkilis got hit by
let me guess.
Santana.
Kevin Youkilis made a stupid face.
He did, but this time I actually think he was kind of just screwing around laughing.
He was yapping, though. Santana didn't know what he was yapping about.
No. He didn't yap.
He looked at Santana. He said, what is that blank? And Eckersley
said, no, he did not. There was no what is. There was no what is. He was not talking like that. You're taking it like Santana's taking it. He said,
I had heard it the way
he
was.
It hit him on a sensitive area, and he said, oh, but they showed it once, and then they actually are into the next batter. Euclid is at first, and they show a replay in slow motion, and he's doing play-by-play of the replay. He goes, you see here, he gets hit, and he starts to walk, and he looks, and he goes, oh. But he says it on live
sugar
TV.
Sugar, honey, iced tea.
Yes, sugar, honey. And then he makes this funny, almost like when I always screw up on this show, and I go, he made like a little noise. And then a minute later, he goes, we'll just forget about that.
That's around the time that I clicked it on.
It went dead silence, so you know they both had to probably shut their mics off to giggle off air. Because I don't think you could really get, like, we would laugh about it, but if you laugh on it on real TV, then you're probably making it worse and drawing attention to it.
You're promoting bad language to my kid.
Right. But it was
what am I
very
supposed to
funny.
Tell my son?
Right.
I love those.
It was
you
very,
tell him what you
funny.
Think is right and wrong. You're the parent. That's what you tell him.
But the noise was my favorite. He goes, and then just made this weird, like, uh-oh, I wasn't supposed to do that.
That was funny. But I guess there's no delay. Right?
Apparently not.
Or somebody wasn't.
Yeah,
someone
was busy with the overhead camera at Gillette instead of. You know, wondering what was going on with foul language.
It was very funny.
I was surprised by that because you would think they would be able to bleep that out.
Yeah.
One isolated word like that.
In light of the era we're in after the whole Janet Jackson, and that was like the talk of everybody for years.
Right. So that was funny. That just
okay. Can we get back to real information?
Yeah, go ahead.
Greg Ellis.
Greg Ellis is a possibility.
Has been banned from OTAs by the Cowboys, expected to either release or trade him.
Yep.
Sources indicated the Cowboys approached the Bengals and the Patriots for a trade. Other sources indicated the Patriots had no interest, which I agree with because he has a $4.5 million salary for this year, which I have no interest in.
No, right. But as a trade partner, I have no interest in that. But who would you rather have no compensation? Let's just say both are released. Who would you rather have? Because I would rather have Ellis.
Oh, I would rather have Ellis, too. He's a linebacker.
Yeah, that's why.
But not for a trade. If there's anybody involved with a trade talks, I'm out. No. And I think that's what the Patriots said. I think if they release him, the Patriots would call him immediately and probably sign him immediately to a low-money deal. He's old, but he certainly fits the size, the experience requirements.
Always been able to get after.
Eight sacks last year.
Always been able to get after the quarterback.
2 years ago. I mean, he's Mike Vrabel. He had the same number of sacks 2 years ago. But he was productive last year, and they're running him out of town.
And they've been trying to run him out of town for a couple of years.
Anthony Spencer had a whole sack and a half last year.
They wanted the job to be Spencer. Spencer couldn't stay on the field because he was hurt all the time, and Ellis just kept playing and kept producing. The year before that was the year that Ellis really lobbied to get out of there, and they wouldn't get rid of him for him. And he had 12 and a half sacks, as Andy said. I don't understand what the deal is with Greg Ellis. I don't know if he's a bad guy in the locker room or something. Everything we've read and been told is the exact opposite.
He's a little too talkative for here.
But he's a strong leader, but he is talkative. There's no doubt. He's an opinionated guy, but from all accounts, his opinions are team-oriented. It's not like he's
a player,
a clubhouse cancer type.
I don't know. He could be. He's a 12-year veteran, so he's been around a long time. He very well could be, but
yeah, I don't know. He's due over $4 million.
Well, yeah, I don't want to trade for him.
No,
you wait till he gets released.
You wait till he gets released. You're not going to trade for him.
If the Bengals trade for him, okay, he's a Bengal. Sorry,
isn't he going to want 2 or 3 million or whatever?
He can want whatever he wants.
No, yeah,
I mean,
I'm just saying.
If I'm going
to
sign
him, if I'm the Patriots, what am I willing to pay for a guy like that?
$1 million.
Yeah,
$1 million. Take it.
If he doesn't, then you move on.
He's certainly not like
nothing lost.
The answer to your success moving forward, I mean, he would be a nice fit. He'd be a nice addition to the position.
Yeah, I agree.
But
and
I'm not selling the house for him.
Yeah, and I was just kind of bringing up one of the Ask PFWs that just came in today was about who you thought was the better chance, Burgess or Ellis, and the better fit. I think that Ellis is the better chance because I think he's going to get released. I don't think Burgess is going to get released. It doesn't seem like Oakland is hot to get rid of him. Whereas it certainly seems Dallas has gotten to the point of no return with Ellis, and he's gone.
Do you see the increased detail in the Oakland talks that said they asked for a second round pick and Kevin O'Connell, and were declined? Thought that was kind of weird. Why would they ask for Kevin O'Connell?
Yeah, why would they want Kevin O'Connell? Not that I don't think Kevin O'Connell's good, but they just signed Garcia. They have this
Marcus
guy
Russell.
That they've given a boatload of money to. Let me just see if I can throw a third guy into the mix.
And a third guy who, sure, he was valuable in that he was a third-round pick, but a third guy who, if you wanted to draft him, why don't you draft him?
Plus, why would
the Patriots wouldn't even entertain
him,
obviously.
So it's almost like they know that the Patriots wouldn't entertain it, so they throw that out there thinking they might get some counteroffer. I don't know.
And they still could. I'm not saying – I don't think those are dead by any means. I think there's a chance those could be revisited at any point. But that's a ridiculous request in my mind.
Yeah. yesterday I was talking with a guy who works for Browning. You know, they make guns. Browning.
I did not know, but okay, they make guns.
They Nagel? Said that before Matt Cassel left, they made a custom gun for Matt Cassel. He ordered a custom gun. Very, very expensive.
Was he going to put Brady out of his misery before he left?
I don't know. It was a rifle.
Oh.
Hunting rifle.
I didn't realize he was a hunter.
I didn't either.
Well, wasn't there stories like when he was famous, his father used to take the boys out on horseback to go hunting?
Oh, it was hunting?
Yeah.
I remember the whole horseback thing. I don't remember the hunting
I thought
hunting
they went
aspect.
Out hunting.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah.
That's it. Maybe he was getting ready. Is there, like, Kansas City? Is there flatlands
sure
where you can
seasons,
go shoot a buffalo or something?
Shoot grouse?
The hell's a grouse?
That's
Fred. He's always grousing about something.
Yeah.
What is a grouse?
It's a bird.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, small bird.
Those ones, like, you scare out of the wickets?
Yeah,
they're
in the thickets.
Dick Cheney type hunting?
Yeah.
What, you actually
shoot you?
I know you shoot somebody?
They shoot them in Colorado a lot, so... grouse
hunting. Of course,
hunting.
Missouri's just like Colorado.
Oh, it's all out there. It's on the other side of the Mississippi.
Suddenly he turned into me when talking about north and south of the city of Boston. It's all the same down south. You don't want to go down there.
The Rocky Mountains are the same as Missouri.
Hey, lunch today is provided by Tree Hugger. And Tree Hugger, that's his name. That
thank you, Tree Hugger.
By, and he is from Oregon.
Thank you.
Speaking of west of the Mississippi, he says, I'm glad you enjoyed the MP3 last week. I'll definitely try recording it outside the porta potty next time. I've ordered some new equipment that will hopefully improve the sound quality.
We'd like to say the same about the show, but we can't.
I have brought up a certain topic a couple times before in hopes that it would spur a spirited debate amongst the esteemed PFW panel. Unfortunately, to no avail.
Try again.
But since I am providing lunch today and because it seems to be the prerogative of the lunch buyer to suggest the topic of conversation, no matter how dull, I'll give it another try. My son and I recently watched with the NFL Films DVD that recapped the season ending with the Pats Super Bowl victory over the Panthers, and I noticed a couple things, and I'd like to get your opinion. One, the old adage that defense wins championships seemed never more true in that season, with the strange exception of the Super Bowl itself. First of all, do you agree with that claim? And secondly, thinking about the defenses of Super Bowl champions in the past decade, do you really think the Patriots have a legitimate chance of winning it all this year? I know Paul doesn't believe that defense wins championships. Paul has always been an advocate. If you have a good enough offense, he can win.
Well, I just think it's kind of simplistic. It's not that I don't agree with that theory. I just think it's simplistic to say defense wins championships. I think people that say that would argue Pittsburgh last year. Defense wins championships, see? And I would say their offense won the championship. If they didn't have an offense, they don't win. With 2 minutes left in the game, they were losing. Their defense didn't come through for them when it counted most. The defense did not play a great game in the Super Bowl. And I understand that's one game. But I think that you look at a lot of teams over the years, I don't think there are many teams like the Baltimore Ravens in 2000 that won strictly on a great defense. Much like there aren't a lot of teams like the 2007 Patriots that won strictly on a great offense. I mean, I think you need to be a little bit more balanced.
Yeah.
And I think it's too simplistic to just say defense wins championships.
I mean, I think the best team
generally wins the championship.
A lot of people will point to the San Francisco 49ers of a team that won on offense. But
and they did.
They had a pretty good defense, too.
But
and know, that often happens, that one
yeah.
side of the ball is great, so it overshadows
a right.
pretty good complementary other side of the ball.
Right.
But that's, I mean, not, like I said, I'm not disagreeing that you need to have a great defense. I don't think their defense was quite good enough in 2007 to win, and I think that's ultimately why they fell short. But I don't think you can just have great defense and win consistently.
And, yes, I think their defense right now, while I don't think it's going to be great and may not even be good with the offense, I mean, you have Randy Moss and Wes Welker talking about how excited they are to have the offense back. We're going to, you know, we could approach records even if we don't break them. Scary kind of thing. If they're as good as they were 2 years ago, yeah, this defense is probably good enough.
Yep. Let's see. Number two, he says, the other thing I noticed in watching that season in review is that the vast majority of impact passing plays on offense came with the use of play action, which essentially lured defenses into stopping the run and then took advantage of coverage breakdowns as a result. For this and other reasons I've mentioned before, I don't see the spread-style offense as one that can ultimately carry the day against an elite defense, the kind of defense you see in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. I'd like to see an offense that at least presents a legitimate threat of a running game, which can then be used to keep opposing defenses off balance. What do you guys think about that? And given the obvious concerns about Brady returning from a major knee injury, what kind of play calling or offensive style do you think we will or should see this season?
This is an interesting email because bringing up questions about perceptions and realities. Why are you only off balance if you expect the run and get the pass? Why can't you be off balance by expecting the pass and getting the run?
Yeah, that's another one of those.
I mean, couldn't you do the
yeah,
same? Isn't
I
that
totally
being off
agree
balance?
With you. Yeah.
So why can't the spread offense be the foundation as it's been for the last couple of years? And then, oh, Lawrence Maroney stays healthy. So that end of 2007 that we saw becomes a full season. All of a sudden, he has 1,200 yards that you can say if you want he didn't earn, that Randy Moss and Tom Brady earned. But he still will keep opposing defenses off balance just
see, that's
in the inverse order of what we normally think of it.
That's why if you can have a really good two tight end set where one of the tight ends is a true pass catcher – you can set up in that running formation, then adjust to the defense and spread them out without having to substitute.
Yeah. Well, the thing about I totally agree with Andy about here is I think that when you see a nicely executed play-action pass that Brady is really adept at, and you see the ball go down the middle of the field for, you know, 35, 40 yards, it's so obvious. But what's a lot less obvious is when you've passed the ball and passed the ball and passed the ball, and then all of a sudden someone rips off, you know, an 8-yard gain up the middle on a run. Well, they got that because they set it up with almost like a play-action run.
Right. Yep.
You know, but no one looks at it that way. It's not the caliber of big play, but I think when the Patriots' offense was at its best, they were mixing in a lot of those run plays almost as diversions, and they were very productive in 07.
Whatever you do in the NFL, if you do it well, you're going to be successful.
And if you do it well enough,
if you execute.
And at the end of the season, you can
you
look
can
at your
judge
schedule and see if you were good.
No, I mean,
if you do it well, you'll be successful.
There's very few teams that have the depth on defense to stop everything.
Right.
You know?
And I think teams are going to look at the Patriots and they're going to say, you know what? If you want to run the ball, go ahead and run the ball.
Right. We'd rather
die
the slow death.
Yeah.
Eight plays to go down the field instead of one.
And what teams try to do, I think, from about the halfway to the three-quarter way point of 07 on, is they've even taken that a step further and said, we understand that we can't, just like you said, we can't take everything away. There's no way we can devote what we should be able to devote to Wes Welker and devote what we need to devote to Randy Moss. So given the option, we're going to say there's nothing I can do about the 110 catches that Wes Welker's going to make.
Right.
But there might be something I can do about the 100 catches that Randy Moss made.
And they
and
did
I,
that.
And I can shorten that down to about 60 if I,
and in the
if I get
half
a little,
of the season,
and if,
teams
and if
that.
I get a little lucky and maybe the couple of times that I get beat, they don't connect. It's a harder percentage play. And you saw with Castle last year, Castle was off target a little bit earlier in the year. Later in the year, I think Moss struggled to catch some balls that were on target. It's a little bit more difficult to hit those big plays. And I think that's how teams approach it. And certainly, by all means, if they want to run Sammy Morris and Lawrence Maroney up the middle, I think defenses be content to live with that and hope that they can maybe hold them to a field goal once they get down into scoring range.
Okay.
Spread offense. The final part was what question? I mean, offense. I mean, that's their offense right now is three receiver sets. I mean, that's what they're going to do.
I'd be very surprised if they veered away
from
that.
You've got to use the guys that you have.
Right.
You know, you can't be stubborn.
Especially, you know, the talk about who wrote the story? Somebody wrote a story last week talking to a lot of ACL patients, former NFL players, and, you know, it's mental. It's everything will be fine. Physically, you'll be fine, but mentally, you have to get used to the garbage at your feet. And, you know, Brady was always a pocket guy. He knew when to slide a half step, and never did he throw off his back foot because he stepped into throws he had to. That may be the challenge he faces, and if he's in the gun running a spread offense, which Patriots had a lot of success with Matt Castle last year doing that. That gives him a little bit more time to survey the field. Maybe gets rid of the ball a second quicker, has a little bit more time before those rushers get to him. Right. That might benefit his rehab process as he gets more acclimated to getting back on the field.
And you know, whether it's fortunate or not, but Brady never relied on his legs anyway. That wasn't a big part of his game. So,
well, subtly.
He did. No.
It's not running.
Sliding, stepping up, dropping back.
He does rely on mobility, just
in
not
a
running.
Six-yard box.
And as long as he can still do that at you know, reasonable effectiveness with his,
he will.
And that'll be quickness.
And I saw the video. You know. He's gonna. I mean, he looked good.
Yeah. Moving around.
Now that
well.
The video's out.
Can you fill me up to date on that?
Peyton Manning is just going off.
Yeah, well,
like he's T.O.
I saw the beginning where he said there was poor communication.
Poor communication in the organization. He said, I know we've hired some people because they have their coaching issues. Dungy's out. What's his name?
Moore.
No. Mudd. Who's the head coach now?
Oh, Jim Caldwell.
Caldwell's the head coach.
Yep.
Moore and Mudd were out, but they're back as consultants, so that's kind of maybe going to limit whatever, blah, blah, blah. A lot of turnover there. They fired the special teams coach, right? There was another coach that turned
the guy
over.
Who, for reasons unknown to me, had a job as long as he did, because it was the consistently worst special teams I've ever seen.
And Manning said, I know we've hired some guys, but those guys are all learning. They're learning the system right now. I can tell you they're not offering any coaching out on the field right now.
Right. They're learning, and they're also the head guy is also learning.
Right. So yeah. He's clearly not happy. I mean, he just made – I was kind of paraphrasing. People want to say – on ESPN, they had some pull quotes from Peyton Manning. I'm sure they're available online. But he's clearly upset. And, Paul, you and I talked about it. They're due for a step back.
Yeah.
When you go – you have so much continuity at quarterback, offensive coordinator, O-line coach, head coach, everybody on the same page – to have all these changes all at once.
Yeah.
And I know the Patriots did it on some level with Weiss and Crennel.
But this is combined.
Right. This is the head guy, the
everything
coordinators.
Everything that's happened to the Patriots.
Everything.
From in 2005 and this year, plus Belichick leaving.
Right.
Which never happened.
Right. So I think they're going to struggle to make the playoffs. Not to mention Harrison's gone, and I know he wasn't the same, but that's an on-the-field change. And I think they're in trouble.
I'm going addition by subtraction with Harrison, but all the rest of it I wholeheartedly agree with.
Yeah, that's because you're in love with
Australian
colleague.
Here's my thing with Marvin Harrison. Great player. Great. Not overrated. Great, great player. Okay? But he hasn't – bad guy, yes, but hasn't been great for three or four years.
Right. Okay? Oh, yeah, no question.
And he hasn't handled not being great well. You know what I'm saying? There's one thing for a guy to kind of have his skills diminish a little bit, and he becomes a valuable – second cog or third cog in the offense. He hasn't handled that well. He still thought he was the man, and I think that caused problems for them. That's why I think it's addition by subtraction.
You know, the other thing about the Colts situation is, you know, even when Dungy was there, Manning kind of ran that offense. I know Moore was the coordinator, but, you know, Manning was calling the plays. He'd tell them, you know, they tell him, you know, we're going to punt on fourth, and he'd tell them from the field, no, we're going for it.
I like how one thing happens on one play, that's a thing.
Can you imagine now with this new coach? Obviously, the new coach wants to set a tone. He wants to get control of the team, and there you got Manning who, well, you know, wait a minute. This is really my offense. So there could be some of that where a little push and pull there between the head coach and Manning.
Kind of like with Brady here, because you just said he does what he wants.
Well, but he's in the same system.
Israel, he'll just spin that right around.
He's in the same system. It's not a new coach trying to make his bones.
Oh, well, so doing whatever system. You want only matters when there's a coaching change.
How do you know this?
Because Caldwell was there running the system.
Yeah, but Manning wouldn't let him change it. You're right.
How do you know that now that Caldwell?
Yeah, you were right on the first one.
How do you know that
Manning's
now,
not going to change systems?
How do you know that now that Caldwell's the head coach, he doesn't want to kind of make his own mark and set.
He might want to tweak it, but it's the same system.
Yeah, he's running the same system.
Well, Josh McDaniels may have tweaked it, but it's the same system.
I'm not talking about the plays and offensive scheme. I'm talking about how he runs the team as opposed to how Tony Dungy runs the team.
What are you
talking about? I'm not talking about offensive scheme.
Well, that's not
system. You're talking about like pregame meetings?
You'd be crazy to change
That's a whole different argument.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
But that's not the system.
I'm sure he'll put a motivational and leadership stamp on it.
If Peyton doesn't like what Caldwell's doing, he's going to talk up. He's gonna push.
And Caldwell will be out.
Yeah, that won't take long.
Because Manning's not going to be out.
That's kind of my point.
He'll Magic Johnson him. He'll get rid of him.
That's kind of my point. So that could be going on there.
As predicted, they will have a step back here.
I think they're going to struggle to win 10 games this year. And you know I have a lot of respect. As much as I despise Bill Polian, I have a lot of respect for his ability to put a program together. I think they're going to struggle
to win 10
games.
I'm still wondering, though, if Tennessee's going to be as good and if Jacksonville doesn't take a step down.
Houston is
Jacksonville's
team.
Already down.
That's what I'm thinking. It could be a week.
Matt Schaub stays healthy in Houston.
I think that division has been as good as any, certainly in the AFC, is as good as any.
I don't think
it will be this year.
Yeah.
I think Kerry Collins is going to be hard-pressed to have the kind of season he had last year. He played very well last year. And I don't see him doing that again.
On the phone right now is Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Fred, you are a genius, as always. You've pulled out.
Couldn't agree with you more.
I couldn't agree with you anymore either. I mean, I was depressed about 2 months ago. I was sad, and you just said, just wait. And this team is really shaping up nicely. Brady, all indications are he looks good. He's mobile. We're lethal. We're hostile. Randy Moss is happy. I don't know what else can we
agile,
hope for.
Agile, mobile, hostile.
How about an outside linebacker who can rush the passer?
Well, I mean,
Pierre Woods.
Take an inside one that can stop the run.
Gary Guyton.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I'm kind of a fan of Gary Guyton. I mean,
I am too.
And I think that as far as an inside linebacker goes, I think we can pretty much say that that's not necessarily a strength or an issue. I think the outside linebacker, but if Crable comes in and has 5 or 7 sacks and kind of can come in and be a situational pass rusher on third down. I like the way this team is really shaping up. You know, the rookies from last year, Wheatley and Wilhite, they seem to get the playbook down. They're teaching Baudin and I don't know. I mean, I'm just really, like, I'm very excited right now. I mean, and Brady's practicing. What else can you really hope for?
Life is good.
There is a lot to like about this team.
Yeah. Eric, are you there?
He is not.
He's not here.
Oh, okay. Well, as far as you guys blog on Friday, I voted with Eric because I really don't think that Michael Vick could help this team a lot. And I think that whatever we would get out of him would probably be minimal, and what we would get in return as far as the media circus and the distraction would be tenfold over. So I didn't agree with you, my friend Andy. So
well, you're wrong. It's okay. We're all wrong once in a while, and you were wrong this week.
So what are you guys talking about as far as the rest of this day is going on?
Well, we're wondering. I'm assuming you saw the video of ESPN that ESPN had of Brady throwing before the lacrosse game. We're wondering how that video got out there, and in this environment of where everything is controlled, was that actually just a mistake where cameras caught him, or was that did Bill Belichick want that video out there for some reason?
Everybody in this country has a cell phone that has some kind of video capability. Their media crush at that stadium would have to be relatively high. You figure they're going to play a game on national TV.
Yeah, but this those were network cameras from ESPN, and they were at early in the morning.
Yeah, this
at
wasn't.
Some point.
This isn't an empty stadium, and this was not a cell phone.
This was the SkyCam.
This was a
sponsored by.
It was a real. It was a real camera.
I'm saying we probably wanted it out there. I mean, I don't think it really makes a lot of difference. I mean, you know, he's been well. Like I said, how would it benefit the Patriots by showing him throwing the football in light practice?
Maybe it relieves the crush that's going to happen this week. You know, now that it's out there, not everyone's trying to be the first. I don't know.
I mean, and that Fred would make more sense than it being a mistake because as we well know, Belichick doesn't make mistakes.
That's right.
Awesome. But as always, guys, nothing but love down here, and you're doing a fantastic job. You know, keep the faith, stay the course, and I'll give you a call in a couple days.
All right.
Thanks, Jim.
Texas.
He should be a motivational speaker.
He's pumped.
Keep the faith, stay the course.
Agile, hostile, mobile.
Doc is working on some info for us.
I doubt it.
He says, I doubt it. I'll keep you posted, he says. So we'll see.
I have an email out to a very credible source about yesterday, and I'm waiting on a reply
credible
and approval
to
give you guys the information.
We'll see what we can
get. Let me give you a little piece of advice from me. You might want to look into getting an overhead for some of the Patriots games, a flyover. You might want to do it now so you don't call the Pentagon day of.
We're already in the works for the opener.
And how's my...
Hi, Barack.
You can't have a flyover at night, can you?
Doctor here.
Can you see the... I've never seen a night flyover. Oh, it is 7 o'clock.
September, it'll still be light out.
Sure. Do they do night flyovers? Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Could you see, like, the rocket or whatever? The
afterburner?
Jet? Yeah.
The wash?
I want to see that. The wash?
Okay.
All right, then.
We were speaking earlier about Derek Burgess and Greg Ellis. One of our listeners sends us, named Greg, sends us
Ellis?
The rumors. The Greg Ellis rumor, Calvin Watkins of Fan House reports that the Cowboys have put outside linebacker Greg Ellis on the trading block. Ellis is due $4.15 million in the final year of his contract. He's been sent home from OTAs, so the team is serious about dealing him to open up a starting spot for 07 first-rounder Anthony Spencer. Cowboys are targeting the Bengals and Patriots, though the Pats are said to have no interest. Ellis has 21 sacks over the last two seasons, so he certainly has value.
Well, you read boring information that we'd already talked about, and you got it wrong with 21 and a half.
I didn't realize that.
And Derek Burgess, according to the National Football Post, Michael Lombardi, the Derek Burgess trades talks are real. The Raiders reportedly asked for second-round pick Sebastian Vollmer and backup quarterback Kevin O'Connell, which New England promptly dismissed. The Pats have also thrown out offers that Oakland has turned down. The general consensus around the league is that Raiders will ultimately hang on to Burgess.
Evidently, the Raiders didn't feel like they had all the draft picks that were taken five rounds before they were supposed to be taken.
Same thing I was thinking. Raiders backing up the Patriots and that they drafted him too high. No, Vollmer's going to start. Two future starters.
I couldn't pass up the opportunity to take a shot at Al Davis, though. I had to do it.
Another Nico from the Philippines also writes in about the same thing, about the rumors that are out there.
Whoa, why paraphrase
why read
it?
His
why
whole
you,
email?
Why just read it?
Well, we just did.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Let's see. Oh, William Berry, Paul's favorite emailer.
He's the best.
In, he has a few in, actually, but one he deals with is, I'm interested in everyone's take on the cheaters. tampering with Haynesworth, but especially Fred. I'm conflicted. Part of me says big deal. It happens all the time. Fisher, or whomever controls Tennessee, is being a serious douchebag and should be vilified for being a pansy. Part of me wants to see the pitchforks and torches used for another team take away their draft picks, castrate Snyder to make an example of him. What do you think are the chances, since it is the same division, they make the Giants forfeit 42? Well, that ain't going to happen. But they are, I guess.
Why the Giants get in trouble?
I got lost.
Snyder with, they're saying that he tampered with Haynesworth.
No, I know, yeah, but he wanted the Giants to give up
their
title.
How did that have something to do with the Giants Super Bowl in 42?
I don't know. You have to ask William Barry.
He's a little off his rocker.
I would tend to agree with his email in general. I think it's one of those things that there's no question in my mind they tampered.
Well,
no doubt.
I think because of that, I think this might be the one that pushes the NFL over the edge, and
they say,
let's change the rules.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Right, so that players have a window where they can talk to agents before free agency opens up.
But there was no bleeping way the Titans were going to sign Albert Haynesworth. No way. They weren't going into the dollar figures that Washington was going to. So why does this really matter? I could see if it was this guy that was, like, the difference was the time and not, you know, they were both in the ballpark. It came down to the, and then I'd say, okay, you got screwed. Yeah. But you're making
it's cheating.
A case.
That's the only,
but
the
you're
only...
making a case here for something. It's irrelevant. Everybody does it. Everyone's always done it. And in this case, it was irrelevant. You were not going to have Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah, that's the last part of that I agree with. The fact that everybody does it doesn't excuse it to me. And the fact that, you know, I think it's dumb. I think tampering is dumb because everybody, you know, we know that all these guys are talking. They're talking during the season. They're talking while the season's going on. They're talking to other players and they're making all kinds of pitches and whatnot. But I think Fred's right. You just got to eliminate it. It's dumb. There is no competitive advantage to be gained in a situation like this. So just eliminate it.
They just showed, does the chicken have large talents?
That's on this week, isn't it?
Apparently they're hyping it up. So I'll be watching.
What,
Spelling
Bee
2009.
Bee? Yeah.
It's good in short stints.
Yeah, you can't
watch
it.
You know what it's good for?
You can't watch it for a long time.
I mean, especially for you and... You get to see what your kid could have been and say, I got a pretty good normal kid. Not those dorks on TV.
All right. Doc is busily trying to get us some information. While he does that, let's take a break because it is 12:49. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. Saturday, May 30th, Boston-based band Lansdowne comes to Gillette Stadium for an exclusive pregame party before the New England Revolution take on conference rivals DC United.
So I've got this story not too long ago. September brought love songs, November came.
The party kicks off at 5:30 p.m. with an exclusive set from Lansdowne. Appearances by the Rev Girls. Imported and domestic beers with discounted food capped off by two bitter rivals facing off on the field. Limited quantity of tickets are available for just $35. This ticket gets you access to the pregame party, a seat in the fort for the game, and a limited edition Revolution t-shirt. Don't wait. Order yours today by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Lansdowne, the Revolution. The party never stops at Gillette Stadium.
And now, fun facts. From Fred Kirsch.
Well, there's two times to judge a schedule. Beginning of the season, And at the end of the season, judging your schedule at the end of the season always comes out more accurate because now you know how good these teams actually were.
And this is the guy who's expert indispensable.
That was a fun fact from Fred Kirsch.
All right, Josh from Virginia says that Andy is in full moron form.
What'd I do now?
If Andy has any trouble figuring out why he is generally thought of as an annoying a-hole, just tell him to go back and listen to the first 15 minutes of this show. Maybe one day he will understand that anyone sounds like an ass when they are laughing sarcastically at someone they are conversing with while having a discussion or an argument. What an ass. He thinks he is so smart but can't seem to figure out that anyone who does that sounds like a complete moron suffering from severe overconfidence. There.
I don't know what that means, and that guy's a douchebag.
You don't know what it means?
I don't remember him laughing sarcastically at anybody.
Oh, he does it all the time.
So no, I don't remember either.
I know he
I'm
does it
sure
all the time.
I'm pretty sure it was you that I was laughing at. But
I'm just wondering about the first 15 minutes of this particular show.
Who was that again? That
Josh.
Jerk off Josh.
Chris from Stanford says, Mr. Pitbull. Sure if you heard, but Brady has videotaped throwing a football. That clip's going to get more analysis than the Zapruder film.
He has one.
Tells me all I need to know about him.
That said, one simple question for this week. Each of you name three players you'll be taking a close look at during OTAs not named Tom Brady.
I won't really be taking a close look at Tom Brady. I'm confident in him.
Yeah.
Sean Crabel.
I'm going to continue.
He looked good on the field with
I'm going to continue my binky watch youngins. With Crabel. I also, and I think I mentioned this before, I want to see just how fast Joey Galloway is. There's a guy that I just kind of intrigued by at his advanced age, see if he still's got the wheels. Who else?
I'll be keeping an eye on my guy, 50-catch guy Greg Lewis. And I'll also be keeping an eye on Paul's guy, the greatest athlete to ever come out of UConn, Darius Butler.
Love Darius.
I want to see him, after getting beat with some regularity, some alarming regularity, by receivers out of the Naval Academy. I'm going to see how he matches up with Randy Moss.
Regularity.
Some regularity. It happened more than once, so there was some regularity.
Not in my watch, it didn't.
He's supposed to be an elite athlete. I'll tell you who's an elite athlete. Randy Moss.
Well, hey, thanks for that. I like to see how the guy's career unfolds, and then I decide if he's an elite athlete.
The problem is you really can't get an idea about anything except for speed and hands when it comes to receivers.
But I think that's why we're naming
those positions. Are some of the positions that you can
We didn't say Vince Wilfork and Dan Copen going
ahead.
Well,
I'm going to be looking at Sebastian Vollmer.
I want to see Ron Brace and see if he can hold up against the point of attack.
Right.
You don't know.
You can't.
But receivers you can see run routes, and cornerbacks you can see try to stop them from doing so.
Right.
Quarterbacks you can see throw. Running backs you can kind of see their quickness and their feet.
Omar Cuff. He's got a nice wiggle.
It's hard to see anything with the big guys.
Chunger. I want to see how the Chunger's attitude fits in with, because we talked about he looks like a guy that is contagious, but it'll be interesting to see as a rookie how that fits in with, you know, James Sanders, who's the quiet guy, Teddy Bruschi, who's the longtime leader of the defense. It'll be interesting to see how Chung kind of gets acclimated into the defense there.
I'll tell you one thing I could do without with Patrick Chung, the push-ups on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that? Did you see any of that, Fred? You were out with us last week.
He was.
What's that?
Patrick Chung doing push-ups on the sideline?
No, I didn't see that.
Thought it was kind of odd.
But to be fair.
And it looked like it was just on his own.
He did it in college. It's his thing.
I don't like it.
Ooh, Paul.
The last guys,
Paul doesn't like when people stand out.
Well, the last guys that we saw
trying to be part of the
sideline calisthenics were Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy, right? They had some pretty good careers here.
What were they doing?
They used to always do sit-ups when they came off, and then they'd do sprints on the other field while they were not doing
reps. Ty used to do a ton of sprints on his own.
He was being fined every day for being overweight.
He would wear his full grays, too.
And they both did sit-ups.
I don't remember the sit-ups as much, but I would have made fun of that, too.
Parcells said that Law has a tendency to gain weight, and he's always on the watch.
And the other part of that, it, 3 years from now, if Patrick Chung is doing push-ups on the sideline, it won't bother me at all. I think it's kind of...
Yeah, you can't ask him to change his stripes then. If you're okay within 3 years, you should be okay with it now. You got to be who you are.
No, what I'm saying... Well, I shouldn't probably say it. Never mind. Let's move on.
Are you going to make a racist comment or something?
Not at all.
Well, then say it. I think it's phony. Both... What do you mean it's phony?
I don't think there's anything phony about Ty Law running sprints.
No, but that's my point.
In his eighth year. I think it's phony as a rookie. to be doing push-ups on the sideline. But Look at me. I'm
not if
push-ups.
He does them. If he did them in college and he does them in 3 years when he's good,
that's what I'm saying. I might change my mind 3 years from now if he's still doing it every day.
See, I think it's phony if he starts and stops it. Either it's something you do and you've always done and you'll continue to do, or you don't.
And that's what I said. 3 years from now, it
and
might.
By
not
the way,
bother
Teddy Bruschi might tell him to stop it.
It'd be interesting to see what he does if that happens.
He'll fight.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't know.
I didn't realize it was going to elicit that kind of response. Jeez.
Well, it is annoying, but I'd rather, if it's what he does, I'd like him to just do it and deal with the consequences if there are any. Because it might piss. There'll be some Paul Perillos that wear Patriots helmets. There'll be some veterans that are pissed off. And he'll get his when he's doing whatever, carrying their pads, going face first into the mud, getting balls kicked at his face, whatever. Right? It's going to rub some people the wrong way. There's no question.
We'll see. Well, it'll rub me the wrong way. So I'm sure that some
players. But I mean relevant people.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure the players will feel that.
Right.
If it someone
and he'll
as
deal
you
with
said,
that.
Is irrelevant. Is
and he'll deal with that, though. And I give him credit for if that's what he's always done. If he really has done it all throughout college and he's going to do it in year three when he's an established starter, I want him to do it in year one and two, and it'll be part of his character. Whether it annoys you or not.
I'm just saying, in year three, it would probably bother me less if I saw it every day for 3 years.
Right. Well, but he's got to be who he
right.
is.
Right. He can't get to year three until he goes through this year, so, you know.
nothing gets by you, Fred.
I mean, sorry, Josh, if I'm laughing condescendingly at Fred again, but go play with your pit bull.
Anyway,
bites your face off.
Last week we talked a lot about Mike Vick.
If that happens, it would be his fault because it's the fault of the owners, not the animals.
Well, speaking of that.
Much like guns, you know.
Chuck from Brighton.
Guns don't kill people.
Chuck from Brighton says, first let me profess my love of dogs. I've owned one. I used one to hunt. And once when fly fishing in Canada with a friend, the Indian guide gave us bear meat for dinner. When we went for seconds, he told us the meat was actually dog. He may have been trying to save the food for himself, but it didn't work. Now on to Michael Vick. Vick started a gambling organization, period. Now, how you and the rest of the NFL media boneheads are overlooking that point is beyond me.
We didn't.
He was the house trainer, supplies promoter, the odds maker, and he or his cohorts probably fixed the matches, too. Would he do that in the NFL if he got back in? He sure is desperate for money.
How do you fix a dog fight?
I don't know, but he went to
like
prison.
Like a gladiator where you stab him before?
I don't know who's overlooking this fact. He went to prison for it for 2 years. If that's being overlooked, I don't know. I don't really understand.
But I think
he went to prison because of that.
Guys have been banned from the NFL for gambling.
Right.
Not for gambling on dogs, for gambling. And they come back.
But here's
Paul Hornung, Alex Karras. They've come back. This guy gambled on dog fighting, and he's not allowed to come back. I don't get that.
But I think what he's saying is that Goodell might look at the fact that gambling is the main issue he's got a problem with.
I'm sure that's the main issue they had a problem with.
He's lost all his money.
What will he do
to try to get that money back? So would he be tempted to gamble again?
I don't see it. But I don't understand it.
He has
you're
going to
ban a guy for something that he hasn't yet done, for something you fear he might do. You're going to ban him.
Wouldn't that be an argument to keep anybody out of the league who has debt? Anybody who owes on his house.
That guy grew up in the inner city with no money.
Right, that guy grew up in Everett with Paul.
William Berry says Michael Vick has the right to make a living like me. He has no right to a multi-million dollar contract. Neither does Paul Perillo.
That's true.
And neither of those guys are going to get multi-million dollar contracts.
What else do they have in common? They've never been in my kitchen.
Both overweight at this time.
And William Berry also says, my ex-wife's second husband, my replacement, owned a pit bull. The dog was really nice, better than my replacement, but I digress. Seriously, though, it is the owner that can be an a-hole, not the dog with powerful jaws. Besides, the dogs were trained versus beagles. Yes, Mike Vick killed Snoopy.
No, it's Fluffy, not Snoopy.
Snoopy was a beagle, Paul.
Fluffy.
Eric's back.
He was a beagle, though.
Eric, thanks. How you doing?
All right.
How was career day?
Oh, awful.
Did you find one you'll be good at?
Were the kids really mean? Were the kids mean to you? Did they throw spitballs at you?
No, they didn't throw spitballs at us, but they were
a lot of
just,
blank stares.
Oh, I mean,
no
it
questions.
Was we had like maybe
did you
three
use
questions.
Your stand up? You warmed them up with a little stand up?
No, I didn't use the stand up.
Hey, I just flew in from Gillette. Boy, are my arms tired.
No,
crickets.
It was awful. Oh,
well, now tell
man.
Us about it. How could being in front of a classroom of kids be awful?
Right. How did you not?
Well, because they all sit there. Like we start off.
How old?
Like, eighth grade.
Eric's mad because they weren't, you know, immediately.
Okay.
He didn't have their attention.
Eighth grade is
you
a little
to
tough.
Earn
it's
your
tough.
Attention.
No, it is tough.
You either need high school or elementary school. Right. I want no part of that
eighth
middle school
is
crowd.
Terrible.
Yeah. But we, you know, we started off saying any sports fans here, and they all raised their hand. Any Patriots fans, and almost all of them raised their hand. So we figured.
So you went the Mick Foley route.
Great to be back in New England. Right. Go Patriots.
Yeah. No, but so we figured, and the teacher told us ahead of time. You know, most of these kids were at the Teddy Bruschi event at the hall last year,
and then they realized you didn't bring Teddy Bruschi with them.
Yeah,
he had B-Lo.
Right. So, oh, I mean, just blank stares, and like it was like pulling teeth. Getting, to, I mean, like the teacher was like, you know, you guys, you're never gonna really get a chance to talk to someone who works in pro sports.
No and questions.
It was deadly.
questions.
Like three questions. We had two sessions.
Like three, which means it was only two.
Right. Right. I'm trying to think now. We had
it up.
Two 45 minute sessions. And then we're like a short break in between. So we're done with the first one.
You bombed in front of what?
Eighth grade.
We did.
You bombed. So we go downstairs to the teacher's lounge.
Imagine how bad it was if Eric admits they bombed.
Did they start
He's never
heckling
failed
you?
Listen,
anything
no,
they
listen,
heckled?
Listen.
It's true.
Listen. So Bilo and I go down with the teacher to the teacher's lounge for the break in between the sessions. And there's like, you know, a bunch of other professionals from, you know, whatever other careers there. And we sit down to have a little something to eat, and this one lady and this guy who were together for whatever they were doing were like, oh, this was great. Yeah, they were staggered sessions, so they had done two before us. And they were like, yeah, it's great. We had the most attentive class. They had a million questions for us. I look over at Brian. I'm like, we must have been the most boring presenters in the history of Career Day because we were pro sports professionals.
Yeah, you couldn't even get a home run with sports as your
I mean,
topic.
Come on.
Wow.
One kid had a Welker jersey on.
What happened?
He talked to us a little bit. Another kid had like a Celtics jersey, and he asked a question. One girl asked us a question, but like the first group was like 25 to 30 kids. The second group was only like 10.
Because they'd heard.
stay out of there, man.
Don't go in that
class.
Is this one of those career days?
One kid had to go in both classes, and he said, don't make me go back, man.
I'm not going back.
Is this one of those where they signed up for your presentation?
Yes.
Oh, even
but
worse.
But see, what Eric didn't tell us is that the woman who had the great class, she was just a librarian. And, you know.
What?
I just can't believe that the duo of Lowe and Scalavino couldn't engage a class.
Oh, you've heard him speak.
It was bad.
That's true.
It was bad.
Any hot girls in the class?
Eighth grade, Andy.
Eighth grade's a little young for that.
That's.
I was going to say old for everything. Anyway.
There's hot girls in eighth grade. There were. See, your face right now tells me you're thinking of at least one girl who had larger than expected breasts, and you're thinking of her.
In the hallways, maybe, but not in the not in our class.
All right, that's a
Catherine Whiteside theory.
Hey,
Fred. Chicken steroids. Breasts are big.
I got confirmation.
Doc has some news. Tell us, Doc.
So Brady was throwing with Gutierrez between 8:30 and 9 on the field yesterday morning, as confirmed by ESPN. And it was probably Brady was going to do a workout, so he went out to the field and threw no different than he would before any other workout, wanted to get some passes in, and that's where it was.
And ESPN just happened to be around, right?
Correct.
That's what I said.
Because of the lacrosse coverage. They had their camera out there.
The lacrosse coverage, the game that was 6 hours later. And there happened to be a guy manning the sky cam.
There's no conspiracy.
From multiple angles.
From multiple angles.
Multiple angles. I only
saw one. Which means there was at least two cameramen and a producer-director involved.
Mm.
But they just happened to be sitting.
Sure.
Something stinks in Foxborough.
It was as random as the Truman Show.
That was a good movie. Did you ever
All right,
that?
So you had a tough morning.
Well, I mean, we were out
Did
of the
Bilo
office.
Did Bilo take
for
it as hard as
so?
You? That you sucked?
Yeah, Bilo doesn't like that.
Yeah, Bilo.
He fancies himself.
You're
good.
Laughing it off. I'll bet Bilo right now is near suicidal.
No, he laughed it off.
Yeah,
he laughed it off.
I don't know
well.
If you know, but he's Brian Lowe from Patriots today. And he's used to signing autographs when he goes out in
his
public.
His ego took a hit.
He did do
he's,
most of the
he's
talking.
Doing one of,
no,
he's
no,
doing
can,
one
no,
of two things.
Why you suck.
He's either
Maybe.
Completely blaming it on Eric, in which case we'll have to kick his
What
kick
was
his
the name
ass,
of the school, Eric?
Only we're allowed to do that.
What was the name of the school?
Hanover Middle School.
Okay, so here's what I do.
Here's what I do.
I love when the scheme goes.
I have Stacy call Brian tomorrow. Say, hey, Brian, I got a call from Hanover Middle School.
They requested that
you
never
were there
returned.
Yesterday for a career day. You know, yeah. Yeah. I'd really like you to check with me before you do anything. I guess there were a lot of complaints. You know,
you should do that.
You know,
he'll freak out.
You know,
he'll freak out.
You know, the time is very valuable on those days, and they really feel that it was wasted.
He will absolutely freak out.
That would be good.
That would be good. You should do it. Do it.
He's probably listening.
If you ever, if you ever did that to me, I would be devastated. Like if Stacy called, because I have to do that crap once in a while, I would be devastated. I would. I know that I would.
Stacy would be able to pull off a good deadpan too.
If it came from Stacy, like if that did it to me, I would immediately know. But if Stacy called. Somebody that wouldn't leave a muck. You've spoken at those career days.
I've never done middle school, though.
No, but you've spoken at career days and stuff in high school.
I've done high school and I've done elementary.
Matter of fact,
I think I would turn down middle.
I had to speak at that the day that Matt Castle got traded. You called me and I was at a high school event that day.
That's right. That's
yeah, you should target high schools.
Well, we really couldn't say no to the woman because she, I don't know.
Did you bring PFWs?
Yes. Okay, oh, yeah.
No, you always bring the PFWs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. We brought those. Brian showed
how bad it would have been if you had
I usually break out the rings.
Did
too,
you bring Christina Akron?
I don't just have in case rings. Things. Well, hey, it's not my fault.
Well, maybe that's why they weren't listening because they were too busy reading.
Some of them were reading, actually. Yeah. Some of them were actually
their cell phones
reading.
And
no,
texting.
They were actually. Some of them were reading the paper, but
sexting.
It was funny though. Brian showed
ERBL, LOL.
Had a DVD of Patriots Now, sort of like the condensed Patriots Today that they do on busy days. And it starts off with you know the little open Patriots Now, and Christina comes on,
and all the guys go, "Hey!"
All the guys were like, and "They did. They set up now." Oh, she's hot.
First question: where is she?
And then Brian comes
next. She talking.
Then
in?
She introduces
now,
Brian. So
now
I said,
I understand
you know,
your mistake.
I said, you know, Brian is obviously living proof that you don't have to be good looking to get on television.
You said that?
No,
crickets.
No,
crickets.
I didn't say that to him. Not going to throw my own.
But there's
guy the
under mistake.
The
We've been wondering what happened. They let off with video of Christina, and then she wasn't there.
It's true.
Right. Show us more video.
Brian did do most of the talking, Fred.
Really?
Yeah, throwing him right under.
I
the
know
bus.
That's a surprise, but you know.
I mean, I did talk a lot. I mean,
he got one laugh though. He told his Travis Henry story.
No, that was good. That's a good. Story.
So that got a little bit out of.
Did
of
you
a
guys
laugh.
Plan out anything in advance?
She gave us a rundown of how we should structure our presentation. Yeah. Introduce who you are, where you went to school, what you do, you know, any visual aids that you have, pass them out, show them. So we did all that.
Sure, did you bring your drawings?
And, but
that's my point.
No, but we figured since it's sports fans, Patriots fans in particular, who signed up for this thing, our plan was let's open it up to questions early. That way we figure, you know.
We don't have to work as hard.
Well, that and kids probably would have a million questions about professional sports.
Sure.
So we open it up early for questions.
But you don't play professional sports.
Working in professional sports. Oh,
okay. What I usually do is I tell more of the stories like the Travis Henry thing. Like kind of funny, offbeat kind of experiences
what,
that we've
right.
had.
Well, that's
and
what
I try to tell those
we
stories.
We started
make
trying
them
to
laugh.
Do that. We're like, you know, we've both worked at the Super Bowl. We travel with the team. You know, we talk to the coach and the players almost every day. We see their practice. We see what goes on inside, you know, off the field, inside the offices. If there's anything you ever wanted to know about pro football and pro sports, now's your time to ask us.
Nothing.
So nobody even asked if you know Tom Brady?
One girl, the girl asked us, do we know all the players?
And the girl?
Like, yeah,
there's
one.
Only one?
One girl who asked a question. Oh. There were only like three girls who signed up for it, but it was awful.
That's too bad. That can be traumatic.
Add something to the list. Eric's failed at.
But
see, I would have added something like, you know, so we go to the games and we cover the Super Bowls and, you know, yeah. And in case you're wondering, we've met Giselle and we've seen this. And they're interested in that kind of stuff. It's the offbeat stuff that they would never think of. And then the questions come.
But we told the
Paul's chastising you for
the lady.
No, I'm just saying you can't just say any questions.
Well, we
hope that you get like 15 questions.
Well, that's true. But we told the lady afterwards, you know, if the kids think of stuff afterwards, because you know at that age, a lot of them are embarrassed to talk in front of their peers.
Yeah.
So we're like,
let's go with that.
So she's like, yeah, that's true. So if any of them have questions, we'll just email them to you, and maybe you can answer them for us. Yeah. And Bilo's like, waiting. Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Right. Does this email work?
Eric's calling the help desk. Is the email down?
Meanwhile, the guy that works at Home Depot is still there answering questions.
Right. Getting
them. There were cool ones. A fireman or something.
There was an EMT or a paramedic who was there. He had his uniform on.
Have you ever
on.
Seen an arm fall off? Have you
there
ever had to
a,
sew a...
There was some, like, on? Hairdressers, because we were walking up the stairs and walking down with these people with, like mannequin heads with the wigs on them, and they had, like, their long smocks on. And, it's just...
Yeah.
It's funny.
I did one recently for the Boys and Girls Club. They had all the clubs together, and we did it at UMass Boston at the university. And I had my table, and then other people had their table. So over here is the guy that works for Guitar Hero, harmonics.
Yep.
Over here is a guy with Puma who's giving away sweatbands and stickers and all
that.
Yeah,
that's a tough draw.
And here's got PFW. Here's the director of New Media.
That's a tough draw, right?
Now, this is a round robin where they had to stay with you for a certain amount of time, but then at the end, you could, it's freestyle. You could go back to whoever you wanted to. Yeah, needless to say, the guy from Harmonix and the guy from Puma had a captive audience.
And you had nobody?
I had one guy.
Do you remember the scene in City Slickers?
I think he was autistic.
That's not right, Fred.
Well, I'm just serious. I'm you know.
God.
I reached out to him, though. I think I made a connection.
Do you remember the scene in City Slickers? Did you see that movie? What? Billy Crystal in City Slickers?
That's awful. Yeah.
And he sells, media time on the radio.
Oh, yeah. I sell air.
I sell air. So he goes in and talks to his son's class. And the other guy that's with him is, this real blue collar. I think he might be a fireman or something.
Right.
And he has, the real Brooklyn kind of, so you know how when you have a crisis situation, you get superhuman strength.
Right.
And I just lifted the car off of the lady, and my final message is, stay in school and don't do drugs.
Right.
And the class just erupts. And Billy Crystal's I sell air.
We had Billy Crystal moments all morning.
Well, now did you drive up together? How was the drive back? Were you not speaking to each other? Each of you blaming the other for the bad performance?
No.
Did you?
We were listening.
Did you have any post mortem? Did you try to discuss what went wrong? Was there any
self
analysis?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Some self analysis.
A little bit. Yeah.
If you have to do it again.
We started rationalizing that. At that age, you don't want to talk a lot in class, and you're embarrassed. And
yeah, bull.
That's kind of what we came up with. And then I said, it could have been we were just completely boring presenters.
I could see that they're driving back. You know what we ought to do next time? We ought to actually talk about what it is we do.
Oh, there won't be a next time.
Before we go to questions, we should actually explain some of the stories we've encountered.
Yeah.
Make sure you tell your friends.
Well, this is one class that won't be telling their friends.
No. Or they'll just be making fun of you.
Or they won't be going into the media.
Just lost about 30 listeners there.
Eric's back. Obviously, we talked a lot about the Tom Brady video.
Sure,
You got any quick takes that you want to impart on us about that?
It looked to me like it was just out here in the bowl, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I could see a little bit of the.
We know what happened now. But just your impression. Anything? Much to do about nothing.
Yes.
Who gives
much
a crap?
Much ado about nothing.
Okay. All right.
We're gonna see him Thursday anyway, so.
Right. Right.
Who cares? The Randy Moss thing? You talk about that?
Talking about how he thinks the offense could be even better than 07.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Mr. Kraft talking about his relationship.
Yeah,
with
now
the
that
coach.
Was a, we didn't talk about that. Mike Reese, I guess, during the NFL owners had a chance to talk with Robert Kraft and his relationship with Bill Belichick.
I skimmed it a little bit. I didn't read the whole piece.
Did you read the whole piece? Yeah, I thought it was
favorable.
Yeah, well, of course. what else is he going to say?
Anything revealing?
I'm just counting the days until he leaves.
I thought it was interesting.
I didn't even see it.
The increase in freedom. I forgot exactly how he worded it. But he said he earned more freedom.
He earned it.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Freedom as far as the personnel decisions? Or,
no,
or
didn't specify.
Autonomy.
Just, yeah.
Autonomy.
In general.
Yeah. Kind of his show, becomes more and more his show, the more he earns the right to call it his show kind of thing.
Right.
So. Winning Super Bowls, I guess, will do that for you.
That'll
indeed.
Help. But it's not just the winning, crap.
It's how you go about it.
He talked about a lot of guys in today's, they're under such pressure. It's about winning tomorrow. They don't think long term. But Belichick is able to do both. He's able to win today and think about the long term, viability of the team.
Well, and it's also, it's not just like bringing when you bring in guys. I'm sure that Mr. Kraft had to be convinced about Corey Dillon and Randy Moss.
Yep.
And when you bring in guys like that and they don't really do anything to cause any strife for your organization.
You can bring in Michael Vick.
The next one.
Right.
Okay, Bill, I trust you. You know what? If you say it's okay, I know you've done the necessary homework. You wouldn't come to me if you weren't sure. So I'm okay.
That goes for players and coaches, guys he wants to bring in as a coach.
Did you guys talk at all about the upcoming Peter King story?
Peter King.
He has upcoming.
Yeah, apparently.
Stop booing David Ortiz? Or is this a different Peter?
No, this is
a
Brady.
A Brady Peter King. We were on the way back. We had Dale and Holly on.
I think that was already out there.
Was it already out there?
He teased.
Hear an email about it.
He teased,
he teased it
in Monday Morning Quarterback. He has a Sports Illustrated piece
coming up this week.
It might be coming out. It might be out today. Don't they pre-release those to get some buzz
a little
sometimes?
Bit. And I think that's what they were doing on the
radio. So he got to sit down with Brady?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
basically sort of explained why he wasn't there last season. You know, a lot of fans are saying, how come Brady's not on the sidelines with Drew and on his team?
Right.
Well, apparently Brady was told, stay the hell away, because anytime there's an incomplete pass or an interception, the camera's going to go straight to you.
Didn't we say that?
Which has been said on the record, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm going to be really interested to see what's in this story, and I hope...
Nothing.
Well, because that's nothing. That was said.
Right.
Right.
And I'm wondering who... yeah, it is out, by the way.
Yeah. Doc just printed
it out for us.
It'll
be in the June 1st issue of...
You guys were talking about Patrick Chung and the push-ups on the sideline. According to one listener... He does the push-ups if he does something wrong. That's what I heard. Missing tackles, dropping picks, what have you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we figured.
Right.
So
we were just talking
himself.
About the annoyance of it. And
I have no problem with that.
Paul Perillo being
I wouldn't expect you to.
The annoyance of it in that if he keeps doing it over and over, that means he's making a lot
of
mistakes.
Well, no, he's making a show of himself.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't like it.
And we just discussed how it could rub teammates the wrong way, you know, as you get into these veteran mini camps and could written, you know, he might have to deal with
repercussions from veterans, maybe.
Yeah, not.
And like, you weren't here when it happened. This is not a big deal. It's not like I sit there and I watch
Paul
that.
Paul doesn't
and I,
hate
and
him.
Yeah, I wasn't appalled by it. I mean, I just think it's kind of one of those things. Look at me, and I'm tough on myself. I'm not really a big fan, but I am a big fan of Patrick Chung. I think. He's
well, that is true. It is less endearing if he's doing it after giving up play after play.
Right.
Too.
If you see, like he's done this five push-ups now. That's.
I think he's going to be a nice player. I'm a big fan. I think it was a good solid pick, and I think he's going to be a versatile player in that secondary. I, in no way, mean to that sound make it sound like I'm down on that player or the pick. I think he's a good player.
You are everything the Patriots, Paul.
Fox writes in and he says,
I'm
agree with
fan.
Your
Alden?
Comments the other day about needing a new opening for the show.
South Park.
I'm a filmmaker and do that stuff all the time. I would love to take a crack at the opening.
Why is everybody
send me the audio files of the announcer and all the films that have already been done so I don't repeat. I have a large audio library. A few years ago, I filmed a no-budget film called Circling Sarita,
never
starring Mark Welling, brother of Smallville's Tom Welling.
Of course.
You know that show? Anyway.
No. I've heard of Smallville.
I know the show, but I never watched it.
Never seen it. Not once.
It's like starting a football team with Brady's sister. Anyway.
You can't get one by Fred to get that plug out there for yourself.
Though. Anywho, in the film, I had a backflash scene where the lead is wearing a Drew Bledsoe jersey. By the time it hit its first festival, Bledsoe was already retired and people didn't get it. Even New Englanders didn't get that it was a backflash. I'm doing reshoots now. Any suggestion on a good Boston backflash jersey the girl can wear to give the impression it's been 3 years or so? 3 years or so?
Does that mean flashback scene?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Flashback, backflash, whatever. 3 years ago? I mean, it could be Brady. Could be any of those guys.
What was the question?
I don't understand.
Corey Dillon. You know? Anyway.
Mike Vrabel.
I mean, I can't imagine that New England people didn't know Drew Bledsoe. I mean, if they didn't know him, I don't really know who you can.
Now again.
Troy Brown.
If they made a film on the Patriots' 0-1 season, who should play Bill Belichick? Who should play Bill Belichick?
In a movie.
De Niro.
And he's got some other guys, too. De Niro?
He just makes stupid faces on the sideline.
Nah.
The coach in, remember the Titans? Weight. The guy opposite Denzel. The guy who gets
Coach Yost?
Yeah, the guy who gets screwed, yeah.
Coach Yost?
I like him.
Really?
I don't know what that guy's name is, but I like him.
Who should play Brady?
Oh, I have an actor for him.
Who?
IMDb him, Doc. Ivan Sergei. looks exactly like him.
I think I know who you're talking about.
He's a dead ringer for Brady.
How
and he's 6'4".
I'm thinking Kraft.
How about
Martin
Leonardo
Sheen?
DiCaprio?
Martin Sheen.
That's not a bad pick, though, either, Paul. That's not a bad pick for Brady.
Okay.
Is he tall
enough? There'd be a little tension between
the
old.
On the set.
Hey, yeah. What do you think about Giselle eating lunch last week with DiCaprio's mother?
I didn't know that.
I think that's odd.
Maybe she's formed a good relationship.
They are. They're very close. Yeah. I think that's odd.
Yeah.
That would bug me.
If you were
as,
Tom Brady?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
I was going to say as him
Cut
or as DiCaprio.
With that family.
That would bug me.
There's kind of a lot of oddities in that whole.
I know. There's some weirdness going on in this Hollywood. Anyway,
Robert
Kraft.
You're right about that. It's different when you're in Hollywood.
Martin Sheen as Robert Kraft?
Sure.
Martin Sheen?
Ugh.
I can't
I
see
have way
that.
Too much respect for Robert Kraft.
I can't see that.
To make that one.
No.
The guy who actually thinks he's president because he played one on TV.
That's true.
Hmm, this is a good game, though.
Yeah.
Did you find it, Doc?
Oh, I love these games. These are very
Maybe
fun.
Jack Warden? No.
Who the hell is that?
Who am I thinking of?
Well, there's a guy named Jack Warden, but I don't really know what he's known for.
He's in every movie.
He's like in every guy.
Character actor?
He has no confidence in himself now, Paul. Now when we question it, even when the name is right, he automatically
thinks
he's
like him, but I don't know who he is.
I don't know the names.
That guy does look a little like Brady, but I don't know who he is.
Oh, I know who that guy is. Sergey? Yeah.
Bubka?
Sergey.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I've seen him on TV. He had a show for a while. It was short-lived.
Did he?
Yeah.
Sergey.
Yeah, he does look exactly like him.
He was in CSI Miami.
How about Brewski? Who would play Teddy Brewski?
Oh, Brewski.
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale? Okay.
I'm killing myself.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
How about Drew Bledsoe? Play Drew Bledsoe? Fred Gwynn?
Andy nothing. he was
dead, you know.
I know.
That's funny.
Romeo Crennel.
Oh,
that would be fun. Romeo and Charlie. That'd be
Dom DeLuise.
Well, he's got
Blackface.
Charlie next. He's got Dom, Charlie next. Yeah. He's dead.
And I don't think
James Earl Jones
as Romeo Crennel.
No, Romeo.
If he was
put
still
on
alive,
much.
I'd have Jackie Gleason playing Charlie Weiss.
Yeah.
Romeo, I don't know.
Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah, Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's got to be
Romeo's
a big fat Charlie
laid
guy.
Back though. You know, you'd want Cedric out front making jokes.
You know who Romeo would be? Did you ever watch Family Matters?
No.
The sitcom Family
oh,
Matters.
Oh yeah, Reginald Vell Johnson.
Yes, Reginald Vell Johnson could be Romeo.
The Twinkie guy.
Die Hard.
Twinkie guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
We still
haven't Romeo
figured out Belichick though. Who would play Bill Belichick?
Gene Hackman. I don't know.
No.
We're just gonna get every coach that's ever played in any
right,
of these movies.
That's
wrong
what
hair.
I'm doing.
Well, you know they can do things.
Yeah,
with
I'm not. I wouldn't worry
teasing.
About look.
I'm no,
you
want
look alike.
The demeanor is what
you're
looking for.
Yeah.
But they're actors. I assume
they can look like
go
anybody.
Watch Bill's stuff and make themselves look like him and sound like him and act like him.
De Niro's not a bad choice.
Really?
Nah.
If he gained a little weight like he did in Untouchables or in Raging Bull when he had to put on the weight, he could do it.
Maybe, yeah.
It's got to be a
big name.
A big timer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the title role. We need a lead actor.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be a little bit of an older lead actor, obviously,
mm-hmm.
not a
He could
a
do
young
it.
Guy.
He could pull it off.
Who?
Yeah, you know, you're not going to get Brad Pitt. Like, Brad Pitt would be a candidate for Tom Brady.
Right.
Nicholson?
Jack
too
Nicholson.
Old, I think, at this point.
And too...
Nah.
Too much of a character of himself.
Yeah.
De Niro can get into a role and not, you know...
That's right. Why I would stay away from Pacino.
Because
I still think that De Niro's somewhat relevant, whereas
Philip
Pacino's
Seymour Hoffman.
A clown.
He can do a lot of things.
He's very good. Have you seen Doubt
young,
yet?
Though.
You know what? I watched that last
What'd
two
you
nights
think?
Ago.
What'd you think?
Very good.
What was this?
Very
it?
Good.
Well, Doubt.
With Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Amy Adams.
Really good. I mean, I thought it was a very short movie.
Who did you side with throughout it?
Well, he was definitely guilty.
Evidently,
you thought so?
Just taking
absolutely.
Away any chance of
the doubt
ever
she had
this movie.
At the end of the movie.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't ruin it.
The doubt she had at the end of the movie was not about him.
Oh, right.
It was about everything.
Right.
Right.
Right. But including him, I thought.
I started watching The Country for Old Men there.
But the fact that he got promoted.
I didn't see enough, though.
She had doubt about everything at that point.
How about Charles Barkley for Romeo Crennel? Big, fat, jocular guy. I like it. He'd have to grow a little stubble out or something. Or
very tall.
A wig.
Romeo's not that tall.
Yeah.
It would look weird, him being much taller.
Short guys for tall guy. I mean, it's the magic
of
Hollywood.
Well, because
there's boxes involved.
That's why Reginald Vell Johnson, he's short and stocky. And he's about that age that he could probably get away with it, I think.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Family Matters.
Oh, the Twinkie guy.
Twinkie
Steve
guy.
Urkel.
I forgot.
Steve Urkel's neighbor. 3-2-1.
Right.
Do
we have any emails? What is going
George
on with this
Clooney
show?
George Clooney will play Belichick.
No.
You make him look a little older.
No.
Well, Clooney's got to be.
I'm with De Niro.
Yeah.
I like De Niro.
He's got to be 40s. Within 10 years
yeah,
anyway.
Within a decade.
I think Clooney could pull it off.
Clooney's not a bad one.
Yeah.
For Belichick?
Yeah.
I would rather have a guy like De Niro. I think it needs to be like a legend.
But you could make Clooney look frumpled and
I don't worry about what he looks like, because like Andy's right about that. They can make anybody look exactly the way you want them to look.
That's what they're supposed to do.
All right. Let's see.
I like that email. Who sent that in?
Adam.
Who plays us chasing them around?
Ourselves.
Get off the plane. Okay.
Ken writes in. He's from California. Says, I thought I'd write in today since we have nothing better to talk about other than ESPN's hostile takeover of Gillette Stadium to get Brady on camera. I'm writing in to let Paul know I can help him out with the quest to see college football in the country's best stadiums. I'm originally from Gainesville, Florida, and I'm getting out of the Marine Corps in about 7 days after 8 years, and I'm moving back close to home. Anyway, if Paul ever decides to quit screwing around and actually do what he says he's going to do,
he won't.
I can get you, Paul, and whoever comes with you, tickets to any University of Florida home game, and these aren't nosebleeders. They are either the president's box or on-the-field seats around the 50. I'll put my info below so Paul can contact me if he ever comes, but I'm not holding my breath.
On the field at the 50?
I'll
take on the field at the 50.
This kid can do it. I'm not going to tell you why, but he can do it.
Let me tell you. Make sure that I'll keep that email because I get.
Why don't
the,
we just go?
But this is.
Can we get a cheap flight with like
this
Southwest
is great.
Or
this
something?
Is great,
and just
though.
Go.
This is. I can see this is coming. Yeah, this is all coming together nicely, Fred.
Yeah.
All
when
around the country, this
playing.
Is going to happen.
Like
you know,
like at Miami, we do this day before and fly our own way down, and
this
then
is nice.
Get to Miami.
When do we play Miami?
I don't know.
Yeah, but Miami's not really near Gainesville.
No, I know, but. We're in the same state.
Yeah,
no,
I know. I'm
you are high maintenance.
You really are.
Just saying.
One of the kids hated you.
Just saying.
All right, let's take a break. It's 1:28, and I got a call from Hanover High School I got to take.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. Saturday, May 30th, Boston-based band Lansdowne comes to Gillette Stadium for an exclusive pregame party before the New England Revolution take on conference rivals DC United.
Look at this story, not too long ago. September brought love songs, November came.
The party kicks off at 5:30 p.m. with an exclusive set from Lansdowne. Appearances by the Rev Girls, imported and domestic beers with discounted food, capped off by two bitter rivals facing off on the field. A limited quantity of tickets are available for just $35. This ticket gets you access to the pregame party, a seat in the fort for the game, and a limited edition Revolution t-shirt. Don't wait. Order yours today by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Lansdowne, the Revolution. The party never stops at Gillette Stadium.
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostkowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you can do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
Okay, back here. Eric, by the way, is just, he's given up on that. I asked him if he's working out the other day. He said no. He's...
Because I did my part, Fred. The all-pro kicker hasn't done his part.
What was
part.
Your part? You did nothing.
I started working out. I started
so
doing my thing.
Keep working out.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not
going to
him.
By falling
his...
short on 35
I'm
yards.
I'm not at his beck and call.
Yes, you are,
no,
by
I'm
the
not.
Way.
No,
if
I'm not.
If he says we're going to do it next
no.
week, we're going to do
he
it next
He had his
week.
Chance. It's over.
Oh, so now, no matter what, you're not going to do it?
Listen.
This is Eric's way of backing out.
Thursday?
Yep.
Thursday, we get a chance to talk to everybody, go up to him after the practice, and say, listen, when are we going to do this?
All right. Let's do it.
All right. I'll try to talk to him on Thursday.
Come on. Our listeners deserve it.
I'll put in the request.
It's gotten more hype than
we deserve it.
All right. I'll try to talk to him on Thursday.
I need a good laugh.
Hey, we're talking about characters, actors who would play various Patriots. Not So Hot Amy says, guys, Tom Brady would have to play Drew. After all, he took his job in football. He can take it in the movies, too.
Oh.
That would be a funny little twist.
Sorry, Paul. Stripper says that Philip Seymour Hoffman is Belichick.
Bledsoe.
I think that might be a good one.
Who's that?
I said that.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is Belichick.
That was Andy's thing.
I know. He's backing you up. John from South Carolina says Harrison Ford as Belichick.
Would be a good one. That's the level, I think, of De Niro.
Or how about the other guy that played in Gladiator?
Russell Crowe?
No. Harrison Ford.
He's a little young. Harrison Ford's more the age.
Yeah.
He might be a little
old. We need some Kraft casting calls here.
Yeah.
For Mr. Kraft.
I've got Martin Sheen on the table.
We can do better.
I just don't like Martin
Sheen. We can do better.
You can definitely do better.
And he deserves better, let's be honest.
I'd rather see like Leslie Nielsen. Make it a slapstick comedy.
Okay. So that was a good email. Let's see. Alex.
Get James Caan to play Jonathan.
There you go.
Just cracked himself up over there.
Alex in New Haven, a couple questions that are pretty speculative, but when I heard you taking the time to debate Patrick Chung's push-up habits, I figured, what the hell?
That's what we're all about, the minutiae of the Patriots.
And it just jumps into your head. It's not planned. Can't plan this stuff.
Right. It's like the Seinfeld show. It's about nothing.
Yeah, but that sucks. We're funny. Right.
No. Seinfeld is one of the greatest situation comedies in the history.
Maybe one of the five best shows ever.
Situation comedy.
You're right.
That's what they call them. Sitcoms.
I know. I realize.
They call them sitcoms. Nobody calls them situational comedies.
Trying to make it very formal.
I appreciate
the compensatory
what you did,
selections for the situational comedies.
Is it a biographical picture as well?
Doc, is somebody on the phone?
They were 20 minutes ago.
Right now?
Who? Yes.
Craig in South Carolina.
Craig!
Or North Carolina.
Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Good, Craig.
Good. Hey, listen, I got a couple of potential actors for you to play Belichick.
Okay. Sure.
All right, my number one pick, because you got a picture of the face, right?
Yep.
That would be Sinise from CSI New York.
Gary Sinise?
Yep.
Okay.
Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
He'd be damn good as Bill. Ooh, and the other guy is somewhat of an underdog, Bill Paxton.
Oh, he's got the look. He definitely has the look.
I could see Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big Love, right?
Yep. Yes.
That was, you know how like Bill Simmons always writes that Bill Paxton or Bill Pullman, they get confused all the time?
Right.
Yep.
That's a good one, Craig.
Either one of those two. And hell, from what I've seen from the video so far, if Vince Wilfork keeps putting weight on, I mean, he'll be like Romeo Jr.
Right. He could play.
Just let
Billy
him play
Yates.
Romeo.
Billy Yates can play Romeo.
He actually does.
Billy Yates is a dead
he
ringer.
He does look like Romeo.
He'll
you're
probably
right.
be out of work soon. So
you're right.
Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that at you. I didn't get a chance to listen to the first part of the show, but
you're lucky.
Yeah, it didn't sound like I was missing out on a whole lot football related. Anyway,
it was all football.
We talked about Tom Brady, Greg Ellis, Greg Ellis possibility of. Of coming here.
Well, listen to that jerk, Josh.
A tough room full of elementary kids, right?
Yeah. Oh, that was the second hour. That was when Eric got here. Ooh, that was at 1 o'clock.
Eric, don't ever do that, Craig.
Hey, listen, guys. I know what Paul's going to say because, you know, Paul.
I won't say a word. Go ahead.
I know we think a lot alike in with regards to football, but any of you guys at all interested in Greg Ellis?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, we all want.
Not via trade because then you'd have to pay him over $4 million, but if he becomes a free agent and is released, certainly. He's played the position, very productive in the position, has the build, everything. Short-term solution.
He even played in Parcells' 3-4, too, so there's got to be some similarity there. I know Wade Phillips isn't the same 3-4 style that Bill plays, but Parcells' system back in, what, 06? Was this last year?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
3 years ago.
So he would have had some time in that as well. So, yeah, I think it's a home run.
A little bit older maybe than...
It's a short term.
It's
like Jason Taylor.
Sure.
It's a year.
What's he, 34?
He's been playing for 11 years, so yeah.
So probably around, 33, 34.
Hey, guys, at this point, I mean, a warm body, you know, at linebacker. I mean, my God, you know, I'm starting to get a little worried. You know, I mean, I realize that, you know, we can put up probably 40 points average, but that didn't win it for us in 07, you know?
Yep.
I just think not only don't we have, you know, a starter at outside linebacker, but we don't have what I would call, you know, appreciable depth. You know, it's not going to help our secondary a whole lot to run around all over God's creation if we've got nobody, you know, making a beeline for the quarterback.
Word.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a little thin, no doubt.
All right, fellas, take it easy.
All right,
have an
Craig.
Awesome day.
See you, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
You too,
Craig. Okay. Some good suggestions for the movie.
Yeah. I've never been able to put my finger on it, Paul. Wanted to know what school philosophically of football you came from, where you got all your
principles. The Craig Bunt School?
Craig Bunt School of Football Analysis.
Absolutely.
I always knew you were a little off the rocker.
Hey, listen, he's been here longer than you, my friend.
That's true.
Well,
Andy, you're full of crap.
He's kind
of
like me that he left and came back.
Hey,
yeah, that's true.
I was reading Alex's email, his questions. One, how likely is it that we will be saying the following 10 or so months from now? The value Bill places on Wilfork is less than Wilfork can get elsewhere. One reason for this being an impressive rookie season from Ron Brace.
I think the first half of that statement is 1,000% accurate. I have no idea about the second part because I don't know enough about Ron Brace. But I think that
high expectations from the fans for this guy.
I don't know how much he's going to play, even if he he turned out to be a great second round pick.
He's an early down player,
and I don't how many playing him is taking Wilfork off the field, and I'm not sure that's something Bill wants to do.
Yeah,
but I do think you're going to be hearing a lot of the value that the Patriots have on Wilfork isn't as high as filling the blank team that's courting him.
There's this new entity called Real Scouts, I believe, doing some work for Sporting News, and it's kind of like Scouts, Inc. It's they billing themselves as ex-scouts now working in the media on an anonymous basis, I believe. It's a group of people, but they all produce work together, and they ranked the defensive tackles, and they had Wilfork 3. Behind Haynesworth and another person. And he replied to that via his Twitter account that he was very happy to be included in such high company.
Is it the guy from San Diego, Jamal
Williams? I don't know. Williams? I forget.
Well, this is, you know, just, this is just Twitter defensive now, tackles, not necessarily. They consider him the best nose tackle then?
Unless, depends on who number two was.
Unless number two was Casey Hampton or Jamal Williams?
I don't think either of those guys was number two.
Okay. No, I would rather have Wilfork
Williams,
right
Chris
now
Jenkins?
Because of age.
No, maybe Williams?
Jamal? Or
Jamal?
No. The guy from Minnesota.
Kevin.
Oh.
Kevin Williams. But I'm just, that's a, you know, Andy's head is all.
Yeah. See, I think that Williams, Jamal Williams and Hampton are terrific players, but they're older than Wilfork. I would certainly rather have Wilfork right now than one of those two guys.
But I think he probably just have, hey, see that name Haynesworth right there, awful close to mine? Right. Yeah. Let's make the contract close to
and
his.
And that's, I mean, I can't imagine that he's not looking at it in those terms.
Of course.
He's also
$40 million has got to be the starting
point. Look, when Haynesworth got signed, that's just about when this thing kind of broke down a little bit, remember? Mm-hmm. I mean, we were hearing rumors they were close, and then all of a sudden, you know.
But then he came back out.
Then he
the
came
air
back
about
recently.
A month later and said, "No, things are good. Things
he's
are
playing
good.
The game. He's using the media. And
he's
going to
make sure that if he
his...
doesn't get the money from the Patriots, it's not going to be because of anything he said stupidly in the public.
He's also looking for a buyer for his famous barbecue sauce. He tweeted about that. Oh. He just finished a batch and thinks he could go.
You've
big.
You've created a monster, by the way, with the tweet.
This kid with the tweeting.
I know. What's up with that?
You make fun of it, but you can't stay off it.
Well, it hooked me. I told Paul I might have been wrong. When Shaq tweeted, "I'm at the Orlando airport, first person to touch me wins a prize." And then he tweeted, 5 seconds is the new record, so-and-so at, you know, put the little at symbol, touched him. She was sitting right next
but
to him.
But it's
got
a good
tweet.
Way to get info, isn't it?
Sort of.
Depends on who you follow.
Right. Shaq is the best, most entertaining at it that I've seen. But Drew Rosenhaus certainly has 7 to 10 updates every day about his clients.
So
now,
do you get an email? From
no, I just go to check it. I don't know.
He has a page now on Twitter.
I'm Jumbo Hart.
And they sort of like, it's like an inbox. It piles up with.
And you can choose how far to go back. Like, it'll show you the first 20 and show more, whatever.
You should get on it.
There's, I have no interest.
What do you mean you have no interest? What does that mean?
No interest in it.
Well, you know, this you're being stubborn.
I'm not being stubborn.
Check
I just
it out before you make a judgment.
Andy's checking it out for me.
No.
I trust his opinion.
You could be following art luminaries and getting info that be useful.
I bet
you
there's a big Twitter world of art.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Where the gallery showings are.
Right.
You should get
underbelly
a following.
Of the art world.
You should get a following at each show.
Yeah.
You should say, follow me on Twitter.
You know what I love about
then
Fred,
they follow
though?
You.
when Fred's interested in something and you're not interested in it, he automatically
disparages
you.
He gets mad
at you.
He takes it personally.
I don't like it when people are closed-minded.
And me? Could I have ripped it anymore?
No,
and I have opened up my mind.
You gave it a try.
I am as open-minded as they come.
And so far, the only thing that you've told me that you really like is the fact that Shaq tweeted today.
And Drew Rosenhaus.
The first person
Drew
to
Rosenhaus
touch
is
with the dot, dot, dot at the end.
They've also, the NFL has done something, Paul, the problem of fake accounts. They're now, like, certifying accounts because Darius Butler's was certified. So I hooked him up to my followers and he was the only Patriot I saw. But.
Will Fork has one, allegedly.
Yeah, I have him.
And
yeah.
Who was the other one?
I was just playing the role of Fred. I was just talking
about
Maroney.
Well, you just said that Darius Butler was the only one that you...
No. There was a new group that was
of certified
sent out
ones.
By, like, the NFL logo and then their picture. And I don't know exactly what they did. But in light of the Asante Samuel fake one and the Mannings had fake ones. And there was a lot of people with fake ones out there.
The first big fake one on Twitter was Christopher Walken. There was a guy who played... I mean... He played Christopher Walken on Twitter.
But there's endless ones. I mean, there were at least three Bill Belichick ones.
Yeah.
And one of them was updated often and was trying to portray itself as, you know, just got done watching Gutierrez throw on the field. He's looking good. Don't sleep on him. This
right.
Like, trying to be like
Bill would tweet.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe it is,
though. Well, is he closed-minded?
What?
Is he close-minded?
Yeah,
that's
the
reverse psychology. He has nobody with a magic.
He
has
more
important
things.
And he can put out his
Fred is perfect. You are perfect.
I guarantee he has people that work for him following people on Twitter so he can get information.
Probably.
Maybe.
I'd also just like to point out, I heard somebody upstairs ripping Twitter. And they went on the little rant that I did on the radio and did the exact same thing I did and said the bad word.
Really?
They said whether I'm not going to tweet about it or tweet about it or... about it.
Was it a guy or a girl who said it?
It was a guy.
I think it's he just did it as an easy...
No, I think that's a game you play. You change the vowel.
A Mick Foley cheap pop?
Yeah.
Did you watch the beginning of Raw last night?
No, what happened?
It was kind of funny. They just set up a whole stage thing they had.
In the parking lot? Where did they do it?
They went to L.A.
Oh, okay.
So they are all Lakers fans, and they were all wearing Lakers jerseys, and it was kind of funny. I just watched the first, 10 minutes as they opened it up, and they had a fake E. Stanley Kroenke come out, and McMahon punched him and knocked him out.
Alex's second question, leaving aside the play of Ron Brace, who would you rather have for comparable money next offseason, Wilfork, Suggs, or Peppers? Comparable money next season.
Wilfork.
Eric?
I'll go Will Fork, I guess, because I don't really know what I have.
What
we would have.
You're the biggest
Peppers
fan on the face of the planet.
Yeah, but I...
You just cut ties with him?
No. I was thinking we were going to have him with Will Fork.
If
I have to choose between them, I'm going to go with the devil I do know.
Yeah, Will Fork.
I think I'm going to go Suggs, I think.
Oh.
I love that position. Yeah. You guys know that. It's the athlete on the outside that I love. I love that, the idea of being able to disrupt a game from the edge like that. I think he can plug Brace in and be okay.
Maybe.
No, you're right. It's no sure thing.
Nose tackles are hard to find.
They are. You're absolutely right.
Especially good ones like Wilfork, who have some versatility.
I can't argue with you. You're right. It's a hard position to find. I think the outside guy, though, is
I've
too
seen
good
this
to pass
team
up
what happens when they were weak up the middle, and it's not pretty.
It's true.
You know?
Now you might get to see what happens when they're weak off the edge.
Like last year. It wasn't pretty.
Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. Hey, girls, and Fred, Paul, Eric, Doctor, and Brian. sitting at home sick today, and I got thinking, what are some of Fred's biggest mistakes? Now, we all know Fred is the show, but even the best have a few screw-ups now and then. I'll go with the top three since I don't have the memory like Dan Heffron. Number three, bringing up the threesome without following through. Number two, not sending a camera crew to the fan gathering in Seattle.
I can't believe people remember that.
And the number one mistake made by Fred, hiring Andy a second time.
Hey, I had not the hire I was talking about.
There you go.
Who was that?
The camera crew.
Sawyer.
Sawyer.
The
Screw
camera
you,
crew
Sawyer.
In Seattle was a colossal.
That was hilarious.
Fred. What did he say?
Gary from Windham, Connecticut. I know Rodney is supposed to announce June 1st or so if he's going to retire. Have you heard anything through the grapevine?
Nope.
No.
No, but let's get on that.
Rodney Harrison is tiptoeing into Brett Favre territory
for
me.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really care what you do. Just go away.
If it comes down to July 1st, you're out.
Oh,
yeah. If we don't hear before the end of this week, that's it. I'm done.
Either come back or don't.
Stripper says Christian Bale as Brady. I think his name was brought up.
I'm over here.
Now, Boris. Boris has a good one for Belichick.
Though.
Anthony Hopkins is Bill Belichick.
A little
he's
old.
Very old.
Is he that old?
Yes.
Yeah. With the makeup, you can't.
He'd be more along Kraft's age.
Gene Hackman.
Why are you laughing?
The subject of the email says Kraft actor.
Oh, that's Kraft. Okay. So Anthony Hopkins is Kraft.
Then okay, yeah, I could see that.
The subject of the email says Kraft.
The password is.
He's going to be doing a late night, you know, music show. Doc is. And now I want to put you to sleep with this one comes in from
David Alan Boucher.
Andy wants to say, Amy, I still love you.
It's Deidre.
Kick that other girl to the curb and come to me.
Let's see. Steve writes in. And he says, Steve, pronounced like Steven, from Edmonton. Hey, guys, love your work. I've listened since November 2006.
As opposed to Steppen starring?
And I think the show gets better every season. I don't mind having less shows because you seem to run out of material significantly less often.
That's true.
Here is a series of questions about specific players that I think should shape our roster. First question. Gary Guyton is a situational player, therefore not a starter. But with the potential potency of our offense, do you think he'll be in those situations quite often, and he could see upwards of 60% of the snaps?
Certainly plausible. Well, yep. I think more than that. I think in the NFL now you could see 60% of the snaps just based on the spreading of
the offense. He's going to be like a starter. Whether he's on the field for the first play of the game or not, he's going to be, I think, like a starter. Playing that much.
Greg Ellis is a proven commodity in the 34 defense. Should he be released? Who would we be competing against for his services, and do you think we have the best shot at him?
Probably teams like who were interested in Peppers, like Philadelphia, maybe.
Yeah.
Miami,
perhaps.
Mm. Yeah. How many bodies they need out there?
I don't know.
They already stole Taylor right from underneath.
You don't think Cameron Miami's a good one? You can never have a good.
That is named
Wake.
They just
brought Taylor back
for no money.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
Yeah. You got to think about chemistry too, Paul. Cleveland.
3-4 scheme, maybe?
Sometimes even I'm tongue-tied.
Did you read the stories? I know Michael Silver had one, and the talks about how it was based on Mangini and Cribbs, and Mangini alienating the players in Cleveland and kind of tied Pioli and McDaniels in, and was kind of a shot at the disciples of Bill Belichick, and they're trying to play some of his games without maybe the resume and the cachet to get away with it.
Right.
Different thing, and we've heard it all before.
Yeah. Let's see. Steve's third question. I've read some people express the idea that Raven Trone and Nick Kasia will not make the initial 53-man roster this year. Are they insane?
I wouldn't say they're insane, Kasia and Ventrone.
I'd be stunned if Ventrone didn't make
it. I'd be surprised.
Which is funny because he's not the starter in that little mix.
I'd be surprised if either of them didn't make it.
I'd be surprised, too.
I would be, too.
But if one doesn't, which one would you say is a better chance of not making the roster?
Kasia.
Of not making the roster at all, Ventrone.
Ventrone. I hate to say it, but
I'm with you, Fred.
Yep. Is Joey Galloway really running a 4-4? That would be phenomenal.
It was billed as even below that. He said he was still running a 4-2.
Yeah, I think he said 2.
Did he say that?
Yeah. Wow. He said.
As recently as.
As now. Or maybe he said since he guarantees he will be this summer.
He'll be running a 4-2 in July or something like that.
And I got to tell you, we're going to know if he's running a 4-2.
Yeah.
He'll be running by everybody.
It'll be re-goddamn-diculous. I mean, 4-2 is the only guy that's ever really run.
Deion Sanders.
Bo Jackson.
Didn't Deion run a 4-2 at the combine?
No, that's just all.
And he left and went through the tunnel and then never saw him again?
Bo Jackson is the guy.
Well, I'm sure he did,
too. My unbiased
opinion. I know he did, too. Yeah, exactly.
Mark in Ohio says, here, Andy and Eric, if that POS ever puts on a Patriots uniform, he's talking about Vic, I won't cheer for them. We have enough garbage in this world. At some point, this society needs to tell what sucks it sucks, and who is crap is crap. So,
Here.
Last check, we were 53-47 or 54-46.
Oh, who's in the lead?
The nose. But, I mean, that's pretty much a...
Fred, how about the choke job by Cornell yesterday?
Yeah.
Were you at the game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
He doesn't remember it, though, because he drank one of those Heineken mini kegs.
No, I...
Did you really? The whole thing?
Over 3 days. That's not bad. It's only 5 liters.
How much did Connor have?
I don't really know what a liter of... I mean, this is a 2 liter bottle of soda, so it's 2.5 of those.
Yeah. It's not that much.
How many beers is that? How many ounces? 67 fluid ounces. So
111.
5.5 beers per each one of those. Oh, you didn't drink that much over a 3 day span.
14
Paul does
beers.
That in a sitting at night.
Right.
By any chance, did you happen to sing at any time?
No, I didn't.
That time? Okay, so clearly you weren't drunk then.
Right.
He wasn't talking loud.
That's
either.
The telltale sign if you talk
Science.
Loud or sing.
Tom writes in, I think we will see a majority of two tight end sets to protect Brady on both sides, so I don't think we will see a lot of spread offense sets, at least in the initial games.
I do. And by the way, there's... Let me do the math real quick. Why can't you have one running back?
Well, before you do that...
What are you trying to...
I was watching
two
the
tight ends, two receivers,
here.
And a running back?
Yeah.
Is there anything...
That's not a spread... Well...
And Ben Watson and Alex Smith and any one of those guys could line up wide.
Right. Sure.
Oh, I think that's clearly what the...
I don't always think the third receiver will be Galloway, so that you're just... Everybody run a go and we'll throw to one of you. But, I mean, you... A lot of formations where Ben Watson is lined up out wide.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know what you're saying. I actually feel that you will see a lot of Galloway wide like you did in 07 with Stallworth.
And you might, of course.
And Welker just running around like he always does in the slot. And
those three
receivers are going to be out there. And I think when you go four, I think you're going to see Greg Lewis in the other slot.
It's a poor man's Welker and Moss.
And
Lewis and Galloway. Same game, different side of the field.
But is there anything to the notion, though, of maybe the Patriots being a little conservative until Brady gets his confidence out there? Protect them a little bit.
I don't know. Every time they're going to be conservative, they come out in the gun four wide and are chucking it all over the field.
Yeah.
He might already.
Oh, they have Corey Dillon. They're going to run the ball now, and Brady's going.
And we know the Patriots are going to adapt and be game plan oriented. So there's going to be times where they run multiple tight end sets and have different offenses too. But
Fred will get his way, and the Hoker will be in the backfield.
I think it'll be interesting.
I think for the most part, they're going to be spread.
I think it'll be interesting to see how much playing time Brady gets in preseason games.
Okay.
Don't you?
I think he should get some. I don't think you should go preseason without playing at all.
He will get some, but I don't think a lot.
But I mean, more than he would have otherwise.
Let's say,
unless you're saying like last year.
Well, yeah, last year he had none.
But that was because he was hurt.
Right.
Yeah, I'm talking about in a normal year when he comes in the first game.
About
plays,
the same.
That's what I'm looking
about
for.
About the same.
About the same.
Yeah. Hey, we have a MP3 from Stevie H. You ready to play that, Doc? Yes, he is. Let's hear it.
Are we on? What? Oh, okay. Good afternoon, ladies and Andy, Dr. Paul and Red. Been a long time. I've been busy searching for black holes. No, not
Eric
I'm
too.
Andy, you pervert. I'm a paraplegic. What the hell would I do with one? Firstly, Peppers, and I know I may be reaching, but could we convince him to sign here for just 1 year? Pay him, let's say, $5 million, but convince him that A, he'll get to show off his skills at OLB. B, he'll have a great chance to win the Super Bowl. C, we won't put the franchise tag on him after the 1 year, but the transition tag. D, there is a good chance he'd be a free agent whilst there is no salary cap. In the above scenario, what would we have to give Carolina? I'm not up for giving too much for just 1 year of Peppers, but if it gets us Super Bowl number 4, maybe it would be a good deal for everyone. Oh yes, and I have a joke for you guys. What do farmers and Eric have in common? They are both woken up by a cock in the morning.
That's terrible.
That's an awful joke. You should be ashamed of yourself.
That's good.
Wow.
It's disgusting. It's uncalled for.
I liked it.
That's because you're disgusting and uncalled for.
I think this is true.
We can play get that, away from, with that because day, right? The guy has a problem, right?
what a scratchy voice. I mean, what?
Okay. Was there a question in there?
How much will we have to give up for Peppers?
He brought it up as being unrealistic, and I agree that it's unrealistic, but I think it's a great scenario if you could somehow pull it off. It's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, it isn't. But I'm questioning whether, because to get that scenario, Carolina would have to sign him to it. Mm-hmm. So, and then trade it. It would be a sign and trade. If you're Carolina, and I know this shouldn't matter, I guess, but doesn't that increase what you ask for? Because you know, part of the whole theory is, the money is a key part of the trade component. Matt Castle, because you only had it, you know, you had to pay the $14 million, his value was decreased on the trade market, right? And it was a one-year deal. That was part of it, too. But if I'm Carolina, I feel like I'd ask for more if I knew you were making this perfect little deal with Julius Peppers.
Yeah, but then the Patriots would counter with, I'm going to give you less because I'm only getting him for one year. Right.
Well, maybe, unless you sign him.
But that's a big if. Whereas if
I'm Carolina, I'd stick it to you.
But if under the regular scenario that we've been talking about all along, he is extended to a lucrative 4, 5, 6 year deal. So therefore, the compensation is sky high from Carolina's perspective.
No, I know. But now my point is, I feel like if we do that, everybody gets what they want except me. I feel like I'm getting screwed. You know, everybody, a second round pick, I would feel like I'm getting screwed. Yeah.
Well,
Patriots
I'll
get the perfect deal. Julius Peppers gets the perfect deal. And I'm Carolina, I'm left with nothing.
And we've talked about it for 2 minutes, and we haven't gotten to the most unrealistic part yet. Somehow we're convincing Julius Peppers to go from $16 million to $5 million.
Right. Mm. But I'm just, you know, my 24-like suspension of disbelief, I'm forgetting that. I think Carolina would feel like they're getting hosed. I'd want more.
Not as much as Peppers would be.
Well, but his idea is the end part of that, like Stephen Hawking told us, that he gets to hit free agency in an uncapped year. He'll showcase his skills and be that much more valuable as an outside linebacker or whatever.
I could maybe see that if it were closer to double digits, like $10 million. He might be able to say, okay, maybe $10, $11 million, but for $5 million.
Plus, there's a value
too far away from being franchised,
right? There's a value in guaranteeing me, like Asante Samuel.
Is that worth $11 million?
I don't know, Paul. We're playing a game here.
That's
why
it's
a wet blanket of realism.
I started off by saying I don't think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I would definitely be interested in doing that if they could somehow work it out. There's a lot of different reasons why I don't think it would work out.
Peppers, I don't think there's a shot in hell.
Peppers being one of them, and your thing with Carolina being another one.
I think there's zero chance of it.
Because I don't see the Patriots giving
one of the greatest physicists of our generation.
I don't see the Patriots being more willing to cough up stuff if you're only getting them for 1 year, and I don't see Carolina being more willing to give them up for less. Because of that's your problem if you're only getting them for 1 year. I still want what I want for them.
I know there were Roosters in Providence.
Rhode Island Reds.
There used to
be a hockey team,
that's right.
Andy.
Right.
I've never seen a Rooster in Providence.
We've never seen a Rooster in Providence.
Wow. I like it,
just
Eric.
Worked up because he got laughed at by a bunch of 8th graders.
No, we didn't
It's the second time
in
history.
We didn't even get that much out of it.
Getting laughed at would have been a step up in the process, evidently.
Yeah, it was awful.
He bombed in Hanover.
Yeah. Was the teacher hot? Who set this up?
Oh. He'll be in Winthrop for 2 nights.
Zavarian.
Stripper says, anyone else agree with Felger that Maroney could be cut if he has a weak camp this year?
Yes. Yeah.
If he were to have a weak camp, and I think, quote-unquote, a weak camp would be he's on the practice field and off the practice field.
Right. He's included our little updates daily as those not seen in action included Lawrence Maroney for the fifth time this
week.
And
if that were to happen, then yes.
Yeah.
If he's on the practice field every day, I don't think he has a chance to get cut.
I said that months ago. I said, and playing the role of cover all your bases, I thought he could get cut all the way to he could re-secure his starting job.
But you think that there will be a comma in his rushing total. You've said that many times.
Well, that's just me making a prediction.
Well, there better be a comma in his rushing total is all I can say.
Why? There never has been before.
But if he's healthy and he doesn't get a comma in his rushing total, he just stinks.
Right.
No, I don't know about that. It's clear he doesn't stink.
He's also probably going to share carries with three or four other running backs.
I think he's shown enough at the NFL level to show physically, talent-wise, production-wise.
I agree.
He does not stink.
But part of being good is being able to stay on the field.
But he doesn't stink. Stink is a guy who was drafted, and all of a sudden you realize, whoa, he can't compete at the NFL level. He
no, but just doesn't you know what have it. You know what my point is. He can't if he can't
closer
get out
to
there,
Stinks would be Matthew Slater. Every time he's had the ability to make some play happen, he hasn't.
Fred.
All right, that's gonna do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
He's mad at you.
Love you, Matt.
He's mad at you.
Yep. We'll be back Thursday. So we'll see you noon Thursday.
Call or email PFW in Progress. Your input is always welcome.
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
Patriots.com Radio.